talked about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
Good morning.
How do you make two perfectly pleasant words so irritating?
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
But I have a question. Mm-hmm. You know, the man who's on To Catch a Predator? Well, occasionally he baits people who call in. People who are lonely or autistic. You know, they only go on the internet for company or to learn something. I think that's very wrong, and nobody talks about it.
That's not really a question.
I think it is.
Don't be the 1%, man. Be the 99. Peace.
So let me tell Beer Mug to shut the f*** up. God, what a douche.
Let me ask you a question. Take an Asian guy and an Indian guy. Marijuana. Hilarity then ensues.
That's not really a question.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend.
He thinks it is.
Pass it over to me.
My boobs are too big.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
No one feels bad for you.
Roll another one.
The hour's coming.
Just like the other one.
What did you do?
This one seems to be about to quit.
Say what?
And I need another.
It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
That is racist and only part true.
Roll. Roll another one.
I really need to kill someone.
Just like the other one.
Yeah, but that's different. Cast eye all the time.
This one seems to be about.
It's Captain Bringdown and the Buzz Killers.
I don't have another cent.
But, yeah, no, yes.
But don't bogart that joint.
What's the game plan, Kevin?
Just pass it around.
Show of hands, who else has an erection?
But don't bogart that joint, my friend.
Please, the adults are talking right now.
Our feature presentation.
It's just awful.
I love it.
What is that?
Remember we played that on the Internet Roundup a couple days ago. That was a song that was an entry in the Eurovision contest. Yeah, an actual real life song. I don't know how much success it had, but I like it. I'm going to buy it.
I hope none. Morning, everybody. It is a Friday morning, the 3rd of May. What's happening?
Well, before we get started, you want to say anything about your beloved Los Angeles? Mm-hmm. Hello?
Nope.
You don't want to say anything? Okay.
No.
Muggs and I were talking about it. He's very bummed out.
Me too.
Yeah. It's tough. It's tough. You work all season. You get to the playoffs. That's when the fun begins. That's when you get out. That's when it's in sight. That's when you go X number of games and we got it.
And both games totally in. Could have won.
Could have won. Yeah.
And even the Ducks fans are upset today because they came back from 3-1 against the dreaded Detroit and then lost in overtime.
Yeah,
that's
it hurts, man. Sports are tough. Sports hurt. It's why you shouldn't get invested. That's a lesson
I shouldn't have a team.
Yeah, maybe so. Anyway, yesterday we talked about the man with the 300 gallons of urine in his home, and you chose that one over Canadian driver got a seatbelt for not having or got a ticket for not putting a seatbelt on because he has no arms. So that's the story we're gonna do for you today here. This is Steve Simonar. By the way, he looks exactly like our friend Steve Jones, Jonesy's Jukebox. He looks exactly like him, except he has no arms.
Except for no arms, right.
Yeah, he was in a boating accident, believe it or not. In 1985, he was sailing north of Saskatoon with two of his kids and a friend. The kids were on the beach. The men were pulling the boat onto shore when the mast hit a power line. So the juice went right through the power line and down and onto the boat and just electrified everything. His friend died instantly. He was rushed to the hospital. His arms were burned from the inside out, and both arms had to be amputated from the shoulders.
Oh, my God.
However, he's led a very happy, productive life. He seems like a nice guy. He's 55 years old. He's married. He has 4 children.
Shouldn't we be more concerned that there's a guy driving a car without his arms than the fact that he's not wearing a seatbelt?
He does need help each day doing some things like getting dressed and eating, but he can drive on his own. He was able to figure out, I guess they were able to organize a car. His car was modified so that he can drive with his feet. His left foot turns a small steering wheel near the floor, and his right foot works the gas and the brake pedals. And apparently he passed the driver's test, and he's never had a ticket before, by the way.
Wow.
As a matter of fact. So he gets pulled over last Thursday, and they say, hey, you got to have a seatbelt on. And he says, well, I can't put a seatbelt on because I don't have any arms. And the officer says, well, if you can't wear a seatbelt, you shouldn't be driving. The spokesperson for the police said, wearing a seatbelt is the law. We realize there are people who have different needs, and they can apply and be granted medical exceptions. And in those cases, we would not write tickets, but this gentleman did not have that. So $175 ticket, so he is going to fight it.
So they're saying that he could petition them and say, I don't have arms, so I can't put on a seatbelt. And then they might say, okay?
Yes, that's correct.
Really?
That's correct, yeah. So
that seems all bad.
They just say everybody needs to wear a seatbelt. But what's going to happen to this guy? I mean, nothing worse than what's already happened, right?
That's true.
It sounds like it got a little contentious as the ticket was being written. I told him, this is from the driver, I told him, you think this is over? This is far from over. I still maintain you're going to rip this ticket up and you're going to give me an apology, even if you don't like it. He said the police officer was smug and arrogant, just rolling his eyes.
If I had arms, I'd hit you.
It sounds like a little bit like a Reese Witherspoon situation out there on the road. But anyway, there's your guy. There's your guy in Canada getting a ticket. No seatbelt. No arms, no seatbelt.
Well, he should have thought about that before he had no arms.
Exactly.
Let's talk about today's Kevin Abijo, shall we?
How dare you? It's shameful. It's a shameful, shameful day.
Kevin Smith will be in.
Yeah.
Writer, director, actor, friend of the show, Kevin Smith.
He's doing our program this morning, doing the Tonight Show tonight, by the way. That's Kevin's day.
Wow. Starting small, getting bigger.
Exactly.
Infomercials. How many have you bought? Ralph's bought them all. Ralph cannot, he really has no defenses against an infomercial. Once an infomercial is on, he must watch it, and
but
then
I think Ralph will own
that item.
I think Ralph will say, and I believe him, that he's been satisfied with most of the products that he's bought as an infomercial.
I think he would say about half of them are crap. We'll find out. We'll find out. We also have Shane West on the program, who's on Nikita and has a comic book. We have Matt Money Smith in the studio talking about the playoffs and how well everything's going for Los Angeles. Speaking of Los Angeles, we have Landon Donovan from the Galaxy on.
Your boyfriend Landy.
I don't like to think of him that way, if you don't mind.
Your boyfriend Landon, sorry.
Thank you.
I've been too formal.
Right. Jim Lee is going to be on talking about Superman, Lost Son of Krypton, number one.
Jim Lee, I found out yesterday, wrote the best-selling comic book issue of all time.
That's not bad.
How's that feel?
I would imagine pretty good.
Yeah.
And the movie beat, because it is Friday. We've got that for you. And don't forget, tickets go on sale for the K-Rock Weenie Roast 2013 today at noon. So do not forget that. We'll take a break. We'll come back with the Showbiz Beat next.
So is Ralph booking all of our guests now? What the hell's going on with today's show? Seriously. Is it Comic-Con or what? What's happening, Ralph?
Ralph-Con.
It is. We got three comic book heroes on the program today.
Yep.
DC Comics co-publisher Jim Lee on the program today. We also have Shane West, who's got that Big Bad Wolf out, and of course, yep, Kevin Smith, king of the comic book geeks. All of that on one program today. What the hell's going on?
Welcome to Comic Talk. By the way, Vin, you said he wrote the most successful, Jim Lee wrote the most successful selling comic book of all time. Jim Lee's an artist.
Drew it.
Well, he does both, though, but he didn't on that one?
No.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Well, we'll have him next hour. We can discuss what's going on with him. First, though, Ralph, welcome back. I know you were out yesterday. We're glad to see you.
Good to be back.
Nothing's worse than Showbiz Beat without Ralph, so take it away.
So I've heard from several people. Thanks so much for those who write in and care. But
I thought we nailed it.
But yeah. Okay.
Pretty sure we nailed
it. Whatever you need to believe. What's up with Lindsay?
What is up? I don't know.
She pulled a fast one. She was, of course, supposed to check in to the Seafield Center in New York City's, New York's Hamptons, That was the rehab that had been approved by the court. She was going to go in there because they had the security cameras and everything that could validate to make sure that she, in essence, sort of a self-imposed lockdown rehab where she wouldn't leave. And that was the provision of her probation.
And everyone agreed, right?
And everyone said, yes, we'll sign off on that.
That was the deal.
And then she says, no, I'm not going to go there because they don't let me smoke. So she just takes it upon herself to check into the Morningside Recovery Facility in Newport Beach, California. Which, given the two choices, I'd like to hang out in Newport Beach for 90 days, too, as well. So she goes there, and then she leaves.
She left?
She left after a few minutes.
I did not know that.
And went shopping in Fountain Valley. Come on, Lindsay.
Are you What's the matter with you?
Are you asking to be in prison? Are you begging
She's
for
begging
it?
To be in prison.
Apparently, she didn't like the fact that Morningside doesn't allow guests in their patients' rooms to use cell phones.
Here's the thing about the rehabs. You play by their rules.
That's how it works.
That's just how it always works.
And you know what? That's the crux of recovery for a lot of people, is giving up their self-destructive behaviors. And they've got a bad compass. Their desires and their attitudes are leading them to a bad place, so they strip you away from that, and you have to learn to follow the rules of other people, and that helps you get back into a better place.
So she went shopping.
Yes.
Did she five-figure discount anything on the way?
No, no word on whether she stole anything from the electronics store she was visiting in Fountain Valley. But, again, the problem apparently was Lindsay's entourage wanted to be able to use their cell phones in her patient rooms when they came to visit her, and that's not allowed. And she would like to use her own cell phone at the facility, which is also not allowed.
Well, she'd like to drink and use drugs,
right,
too, but that's not
what
rehab's about.
Well, she's just doing this, obviously, as a court obligation, and she thinks she's going to go to Newport Beach and smoke and use her cell phone, and it's going to be a vacation for 90 days.
You know, we talked about this yesterday, of course, Ralph, when she, you know, when it was revealed that she did not go to the court-ordered rehab and decided just on the fly to change to the other one at the last minute. And the judge was well within his rights, if he wanted to issue a bench warrant for her yesterday, have her arrested and literally thrown in jail yesterday.
Yes.
I mean, she was
now
so pushing
left.
It.
Now she left
and now
that
she
facility.
Left yeah.
So,
they have to now,
LA Times
right?
is reporting that she absolutely could be charged with a parole violation, so...
I don't see any other option than to arrest
either.
Her at this point.
I don't
point.
Either. I don't think they've given her enough. A
couple of minutes.
It's not like, let me look. No, I don't like this joint.
It's not like she made it 57 days and just couldn't take it anymore.
I'll tell you what I'm going to do. Those 90 days, I'm going to spend them in my car in my house. Is that okay instead of the rehab?
I'm going to go shopping.
We good? We good, Judgy Wudgy?
We cool?
And why pack 270 outfits if you're going to leave in 5 minutes?
Well, apparently she... But it wasn't for her. Well, look, rehab's not for everybody.
Wow.
Especially the addicts. FHM magazine. You familiar?
Sure.
Sure.
It must be a British magazine because they have released their 10 sexiest women in the world poll.
I think this is the British FHM, yes.
Ah, well, there you go.
Yeah, yeah.
Here's your top 10. Georgia Salpa.
Don't know.
Beautiful and talented British model and actress. 10th on the list. Cheryl Cole, singer. Beautiful girl as well, ninth. She's the host of Britain's Got Talent, or maybe the X Factor. She was the host of X Factor.
And she was in that Girls Aloud band, right?
Yes, right. Kate Upton, eighth on the list.
There we go.
Pixie Lott, I can only assume is another Brit, seventh on the list. Kaley Cuoco, sixth on the list.
Oh, nice.
Kelly Brook, she is a Brit, but we happen to absolutely know who
she
that young lady is.
Stunning.
Yeah.
Next is two British... soap opera stars, Michelle Keegan and Helen Flanagan, both lovely girls, fourth and third.
We should be paying more attention to British celebrities, it sounds like.
Oh,
we're missing some of these.
You know, Egotastic.com does a great job of keeping up with them because there's a lot of Brits over there who are very generous with their cans.
Yes, okay.
Yeah. And that website specializes in that. I've learned a lot about British culture by reading Egotastic.com.
They're can givers.
Rihanna was number two on the list, which I just think is just madness. Just madness.
That's based more on her popularity and celebrity than anything.
Absolutely,
I would think so too. Yeah.
You look any of these other girls underneath her on that list and say, much.
I mean,
much
I think she's beautiful, but she's definitely stands out on that list.
She's attractive. I know she's sexy because she's sort of a loose cannon.
Can I guess number one?
Sure,
Farrah Abramson.
Not Farrah Abramson. Oddly enough, Mila Kunis. Mila Kunis, number one, according to the British FHM magazine.
That works.
Nothing wrong with that.
Sexiest woman in the world. See, People magazine? That's how it's done.
Wait, where's Gwyneth? Gwyneth isn't on that list
at all? That's how it's done, People magazine. Learn, kids. In the words of legendary journalist. And Paris Jackson.
Now what?
She's rebelling.
Uh-oh.
She's rebelling. Apparently she does not want to play by the rules of her family and go through the whole Jehovah's Witness thing. You know, as part of the faith, you have to go from door to door and spread the good word. And she has told her family she is not going door to door, knocking on the door and handing out the watchtower.
That's a super uncomfortable thing to do. It's
she also
easy.
Said she would like to be an actor or a musician someday and doesn't want to go around looking like the neighborhood weirdo, she's told family. So, you know, for a while I used to worry about Jackson's kids, but now I think they're going to be just fine.
How about
apparently,
that?
They
got out early enough.
They're standing up for themselves, so that's all good news. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Sports broadcaster Greg Gumbel, 67 years old today. Actor Bobby Cannavale, I love him. Boardwalk Empire, of course. Nurse Jackie, he was great on that. I saw him on Broadway doing Glenn Ross with Al Pacino. Boy, what a great actor. 43 years old today. Dulé Hill from West Wing, you know him, of course. And then sure. Psych, 38 years old. Christina Hendricks. Come on now with the Christina Hendricks.
Yeah.
She's been so good in Mad Men this season. 38 years old. Dancer Cheryl Burke of Dancing with the Stars is 29 years old. And you don't like Cheryl Burke?
Really?
That's
come on.
Tepid bell for Cheryl Burke? I think she's
hit
hot.
That a little harder.
Does she need more? All right.
Yeah.
There you go.
Put some weight into it. And lastly, keyboardist David Ball of Soft Cell is 54 years old today. Soft Cell. Woo! Soft Cell. We'll have some tainted love for her the next hour, I guarantee. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz. And now, a moment with Bean.
This is like when May and Trat, Trat and May rather, when they, what am I trying to say here, Kevin?
Matt and Trey. Yeah.
Matt and Trey, thank you.
Let's this is like Matt and May from now on.
That was A Moment with Bean.
Right? He has the nerve, Ralph, to ask me what he means.
How panicked was Bean if he's looking to Kevin to bail him out?
No, but I happen to know that at that moment.
Yeah.
But he's the guy that made the rule, nobody jump in and help Kevin.
That's true.
So
I did feel like it was one of those where I was outside of my body and it was a heavy rotation moment where I could see what was happening and I got a little paralyzed and a little panicked that I couldn't work my way out of it.
Welcome to my life.
This was it.
And now, A Moment with Bean.
This is like when May and Trat, Trat and May rather, when they, what am I trying to say here, Kevin? Matt and Trey, thank you.
Let's
this is like
Matt and May from now on.
That was A Moment with Bean.
Oh, it's not May and Trat. It's Trat and May.
That cleared it up. That fixed it.
That was a scary glimpse into Alzheimer's, is what that was, or something.
That was a scary glimpse into my current life.
It is Friday morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. That means Ralph Garman is here, and it's time for the movie.
In a world, someone has been watching. One man who risked everything.
Sorry, I have not seen any of your films.
Without seeing the movies. Ralph Garman's Movie Beat.
Welcome to my world.
Interesting weekend's worth of movies coming out today. Of course, none of it matters because Iron Man 3 is going to come out and just blow everybody away. But here's some of your options if you're not going to see Iron Man 3 this weekend. Starting with, in limited release, Love is All You Need. I almost said All You Need is Love, but Love is All You Need. It is a Swedish film starring Pierce Brosnan. It's a hilarious comedy about a hairdresser who loses all her hair due to her cancer treatments and finds out her husband's having an affair, travels to Italy for her daughter's wedding, and meets a widower who needs some love himself. So
that sounds hilarious.
It is. Well, you know the Swedes. That's how they like to roll. They're a freaking depressed bunch over there, the Swedes.
Does anyone play chess with death?
No.
Is that in this movie?
It's close, though. Here are some clips from the trailer of Love is All You Need.
Your daughter's getting married in Italy? My son's getting married in Italy.
You're so awful and stupid and not nice.
You just love Italy. The food, the wine, the romance, don't you?
No.
I thought that me getting married and you coming back here would solve everything, but it didn't.
I'm sorry, we're such a crazy family.
Well, don't be, it's great.
You know, you haven't said one nasty thing to me in over 6 minutes.
It's a magical thing with silence.
Yep.
See, yep. I'm going to go see that over charming, Iron Man 3.
Charming and romantic, those two. Who wants to see a bald Swede fall in love with Pierce Brosnan?
I don't have one thing against small movies or independent movies at all, but Pierce Brosnan actively seems to try to not be a movie star anymore, right?
Yeah, he likes doing little quirky things.
Yeah, because he certainly could. I mean, he certainly could do anything he wanted, I bet.
Yeah, he's got all the money in the world, though, so he likes to do scripts that interest him, and he likes doing things that are
bad.
As far away from Bond as possible. Why is it say bad?
It's not bad automatically.
It's bad. It sounds bad. Oh, shut up.
It does.
What Maisie knew, this looks just horribly, cripplingly sad and depressing to me. It's the story of a tiny little sweet girl. This actress they found just has the sweetest face, caught in the middle of a brutal divorce and custody battle. Her two parents are both just a mess. Julianne Moore and Steve Coogan star as the parents. I love Steve Coogan, by the way. A very talented British comedian, but he's also a very powerful dramatic actor and all as well. And this looks like a bittersweet story about this little girl, Maisie, trapped between her two parents who are bitterly fighting not only against each other but over her. Here are some clips from What Maisie Knew.
Did you really get married?
You don't have to call me daddy or anything.
Maisie has something she'd like to share with the class.
This is my new stepfather.
Hi.
My father married my nanny, so Court made my mommy get married, too.
You know, you don't get a bonus for making her fall in love with you.
Are you and daddy still married?
I may have to go back to England.
Things have been a little rough with her mother gone.
You really like him, don't you?
I love him.
Alexander Skarsgård stars in the film as well. Another bittersweet comedy. The Iceman opens this weekend in limited release as well.
This looks good.
Looks awesome. Michael Shannon, who of course you know from Boardwalk Empire, is soon to be seen in Man of Steel as General Zod. He stars as Richard Kuklinski, a legendary, true-life, notorious contract killer and family man. When he was arrested in 1986, neither his wife nor his daughters had any clue about his real profession.
Really?
Yeah. This was a story that got a lot of attention in the press when he was arrested. They finally made the film about it. Michael Shannon stars as the titular Iceman, contract killer, and family man. Winona Ryder, Chris Evans, and James Franco also star in the Iceman. Here's a scene between Ray Liotta, always good to see him in a mob movie, and the Iceman, mob killer, and Liotta basically confronting him.
You're doing hits with Freezy for Leo Merckx behind my back? After what I've been through with Rosenthal, now you're going to send me to another funeral?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Don't lie to me. Who you think you're talking to? You lie to me. I can imagine what you've been telling them. Poor sons of thinking their dad's a decent guy. What are you going to tell your wife? I'm blow your kids' heads off.
I don't think you want to make Ray Liotta mad.
There's certain guys who just should do mob movies, and Ray Liotta's one of them. Just put him in every mob movie they make. Just put him in it. This looks terrific. It's a limited release. You're going to have to find a theater near you that's playing it. They're expecting it should be released wider soon, but I would definitely seek out The Iceman. That is, of course, unless you're not going to see Iron Man 3.
Hey, you broke the rules and saw this.
Yeah, I did. I saw it earlier this week, and it is just a blast. I had a great time. Some people are complaining Tony Stark spends too much time out of the suit. There is less Iron Man suit stuff with Robert Downey Jr. than you've seen in either the first two Iron Man or the Avengers. For me, that was fine. This was sort of a refreshing change of pace. You see Tony Stark sort of relying on his wits more. It's more of like a Bond kind of thriller situation as he goes up against
that sounds good.
Evil terrorist known as the Mandarin, played by Ben Kingsley, of course. Gwyneth Paltrow is great in this film. You know how I feel about her, but I really found her entertaining.
She's the most beautiful woman in the world, though, Ralph.
Easy. Guy Pearce, also another villain, very formidable. Don Cheadle has a great role in this as well. It's a terrific film, well-directed, and I was surprised how reserved Shane Black, the director and writer of this film, was in doling out the giant special effects set pieces. Usually a lot of these films, especially when they get into the third or fourth in a series, start leaning too heavily on that stuff.
That's almost all they are.
We have to pack as much action in this as we can. There's a ton of story in this. Some great, very funny, charming, quiet moments with Robert Downey Jr. and the other characters in the film. And they reserve the big blockbuster stuff. They just sprinkle it once, twice, maybe three times throughout the film. And it really gives those moments a lot more impact when the story builds up to them. I was really impressed by the pacing and the restraint that was shown in Iron Man 3. I think it's a great time at the movies. I think you will enjoy it. Here is a scene from Iron Man 3 where Tony Stark, after finding out that his best friend and bodyguard has been hurt in one of these explosions set off by this terrorist, the Mandarin, decides to give a warning directly to him.
Here's a little holiday greeting I've been wanting to send to the Mandarin. I just didn't know how to phrase it until now. My name is Tony Stark, and I'm not afraid of you. I know you're a coward. So I've decided that you just died, pal. I'm going to come get the body. There's no politics here. It's just good old-fashioned revenge. It's no Pentagon. It's just you and me. And on the off chance you're a man, here's my home address. 10880 Malibu Point. I'll leave the door unlocked.
Oh,
dude.
Game on.
That's balls right there.
Game on.
Love it.
Game on. Game on.
What are you saying?
Spider-Man versus the Mandarin, game on.
Not that it matters, Ralph, because everyone in the world will see this, but is it the best Iron Man ever as it is advertised?
Here's my whole thing. I think number one is almost a perfect comic book movie. There's only been a couple of those in the world.
That was flawless.
It is almost a flawless comic book movie. This is a great comic book movie, but it's not as flawless as the first. And here's the thing. You're handcuffed three movies in because the first one you get to do the origin story. There's this inherently well-structured narrative dramatic tale to be told there. When you get beyond that and you have to continue the adventures of one of these characters, it gets a little more difficult. So this isn't quite as satisfying or successful, I think, as number one. It's leaps and bounds beyond number two, certainly. But it's real close. It's a really good comic.
It's an A instead of an A+. Yeah. Nothing wrong with that.
I don't think it comes as close as the first. But there's so much good stuff in this film. I think you're really going to dig it.
Love it.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the movie beat.
All that you know is at an end.
That was Ralph Garman. Ralph Garman. Movie.
So do you have your whole day mapped out tomorrow, Ralph, for Free Comic Book Day? You know where you're going, what time and everything?
Well, Golden Apple. It's the only place I go for my comics.
You just go to one space? Just the one shop, Bean.
All the comic book stores have the same comics, Bean.
Okay.
You just have to find your home base, and those are the people that you continually.
So you go there, and then you get a free comic book?
Free comic book day. More than one. There's a bunch of free comic books on Free Comic Book Day.
Huh.
It's to inspire people to get back into the comic book stores and the retailers and to patronize those stores and to also get people reintroduced to some characters or introduced to some brand new characters. It's always one of my favorite days of the year.
Well, your plan is a little bit different than the man that we have on the phone right now. Jim Lee is the DC Comics co-publisher. He is a giant in the industry, a legendary artist and writer, and he's got something special for Free Comic Book Day tomorrow, and he joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show right now. Hi, Mr. Lee. Welcome, sir.
Hey, thank you very much. You know what? His day sounds very similar to mine, except that'll be a different story. Actually, you'll see Jeff Johns at Golden Apple.
Oh, Jeff is going to be there?
Yeah, he is. Yeah.
Jeff Johns, of course, is the other guy who just runs DC along with you, Jim. You guys are just you just pull all the strings over there now, don't you?
We have a lot of fun. We have our hands in different a lot of different pies.
Can you both have people killed just by snapping your fingers and pointing?
In a fictional world, yes.
Okay.
We will have that kind of power. Yes.
Well,
unfortunately, they have this habit of coming back to life. So.
Oh, isn't that the truth? There's no death in comics.
Our ultimatums aren't quite as... Not as permanent as they should. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. Well, let's talk about what you're offering to the fans for Free Comic Book Day. You have come up with Superman Last Son of Krypton number one. Now, that is a title that has been kicking around for a long, long time in the Superman world, but you're starting over. Tell us about it.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's the first chapter of a story written by Jeff Johns. I think Adam Kubert was the artist on that.
Right.
And but it's a great classic tale of Superman versus Zod, and we felt it was very fitting given the fact that Man of Steel features Zod versus Superman as in theaters the week or the month following Free Comic Book Day. And so it's a great story, and it also has a sneak preview of Superman Unchained, which is the new book I'm drawing with writer Scott Snyder. If you've been following comics, Scott has been one of the top writers of the past year, writing terrific stories in Batman. And so it's he and I working together for the first time, and it's an incredible story of Superman. And it's a story of Superman. If we only had one shot at drawing Superman or telling a story about Superman, what would you do? And this is our tale in it. So it really features all the classic things you would expect in a Superman story: Superman versus Luthor, Superman, you know, flirting with Lois, and all sorts of. And it actually introduces a new villain called. Actually, I don't know if we've even named who the villain
What's
is.
The name?
A
What's
new
the name?
Villain. I almost said it, but it's a yes. Anyway, so talking about Free Comic Book Day.
Now, Jim, Superman Unchained, yes. Is that going to be a limited edition series, or is it possibly a new title?
It's an ongoing, but our first arc, I believe, is 7 or 8 issues long. I think we're still in the middle of figuring exactly the length of it. But
is this part of canon, or does it exist outside of what's going
on? It is. You know, you guys know what's going on. It's part of canon. It's in continuity. You know, Scott is in communication with other Superman writers almost on a daily basis, and so they go to great lengths to make sure that the world is consistent and the same one that all these characters inhabit. So it is in canon. I know for a lot of readers that's important. So
yeah.
Now. Let me ask you this, Jim. Do you have some flexibility to there's certain things you can't change when you're writing a Superman story. Obviously, he's got 75 years of history about it. But you could mix it up a little. Like if you wanted to make him a wrestling fan or something, if you wanted to add something to his character as you draw it, you could do that, right?
Yeah, but you put something good in there. You wouldn't make him a wrestling fan.
No, that was almost.
That was almost the theme of the book, wasn't it?
Yeah, it got cut. Yeah. I don't know if that. You're always adding to it. I mean, because you're really talking about. You know, you would think after 75 years, we would know everything there is to know about Clark Kent and Superman. But
right.
The cool thing is, we're continually adding new things. So even this new villain that we're introducing in the first issue, it feels very organic, and it makes complete sense that this character's been around, and yet it's entirely new. And then even with Superman in the first issue, this is a spoiler, but it's revealed that there's bagels sold in Metropolis that have corn in them, and those are the ones that Jimmy Olsen buys for Clark Kent. This is serious. So when you do that, like, oh, now we have to come up with a name for this place, and then, where are they located? There's just every time you draw a panel, you have to create a little bit of Superman lore to make it feel like it's always been there. I think there's a call out to the Smallville baseball team that, you know, he's got put on, you know, that's on the wall behind where Superman or Clark Kent writes his articles. And so, you know, you have to come up with a logo. What would this what would this baseball team logo look like?
Fine.
You know, whether mascot colors, that kind of thing. And that's the fun part of working in comics. You're making the stuff up as you go, and you're adding to this lore and history.
And Jim, you know, Bean mentioned the long history of all these characters at DC that you're dealing with. That was kind of the point of the New 52, right? Was to kind of blow things up and give you guys a little bit more leeway as to reinvent and introduce some new elements to these characters, right?
Exactly. It was really kind of clean the slate and allow us to have our cake and eat it too, in the sense that we got to pick the elements of the lore that preceded us for the past 75 years that we loved and we felt were canon and integral to the characters, and we used that as the foundation of our new continuity. But then it also really opened up all these new opportunities. We obviously changed the relationship between Clark Kent and Lois. They used to be buried in the New 52. They're not.
Right.
And
now he's cheating on her with Wonder Woman.
Cheating, you know, that's...
strong word?
Very strong word. He's just exploring his options.
Yeah, he's exploring
those options, I'll tell you that.
But what allows us to do is tell stories that haven't been told before, and allows us to really reinvigorate the interest in these characters and these iconic characters, and it really shows that they're not... ossified. They're not set in stone. We can still surprise readers. We can still surprise fans. And it shows that there's still a lot of life left in these characters. And then that was part of the promise of the New 52.
This is the voice of Jim Lee here on the Kevin and Bean Show, talking about, among other things, Free Comic Book Day. Tomorrow you can get the Superman Last Son of Krypton #1. Hey, before we go, Jim, I have a non-Superman question I have to ask you, because Kevin and I for many years have been making fun of Ralph and his support of Ant-Man.
What do you where do you come down on Ant-Man? Is he BS or is he legit?
Ant-Man, I prefer Adam. I mean, I don't know if you guys know who Adam is.
Adam-Man
is awesome, too.
Ray Palmer, professor. Yeah. White dwarf star, guys, anything happening?
Don't know.
I can't get anything by you guys. Yeah, Adam is the DC's version of a character that can get really small. Yeah. But he can get so small he can jump into phones and travel along phone lines, which I thought was just... way ahead of its time, thinking about it.
Yeah, you pick up the phone, Kevin. You see, and the Adam jumps out of the phone. He can get so slow. He can ride on electrons.
Well, when you think about it, when you get that small, you are reduced to a state of energy.
Exactly.
And if you are the size of an electron, you would be able to,
Oh, it makes sense. Don't get me wrong. Right? Of course it makes sense.
Come on. I've done my research. It seems perfectly plausible to me. I think all those characters, Ant-Man included, to me, they hold a special place in my heart because when you're a kid, you do believe in that kind of stuff. And the whole idea of being small and then all of a sudden all the things that we take for granted, like being able to step on ants or not being bothered by insects now become these huge, insurmountable problems. And so to me, it gives you a different perspective on the world we take for granted. And I think that's the charm and beauty of those type of characters.
So one thumb up on Ant-Man and two on the Atom.
Yes.
Yeah, we love the Atom. Yeah.
All right.
This is flown by, Jim, and I can't believe we had you on. It's a big thrill for us. But come in and see us sometimes. We can spend a little bit more time because we have a million questions for a guy with your life.
I would love to. That would be fantastic. Absolutely.
For a guy who bashed me for being a comic book fan for so long, Bean, all of a sudden, he's all on the comic book train.
Yeah, exactly.
I think you're starting to get some fans.
You know what? The worm has definitely turned. I mean, the geeks have inherited the earth. Look at all the big motion pictures and what people buy as entertainment, from games to cartoons. I mean, it all comes from the pages of comic books, and I think that's what we're celebrating with Free Comic Book Day, if I could take a second to loop it back. But
sure.
I mean, I just think it's cool that you can be a fan of this stuff and not be a diehard, comics nerd that's been reading comics all their lives. I mean,
although Ralph is that, but I am that. Yes.
No, but you can have a discussion with your grandparents about the stuff, and they might have only seen one movie. Whereas in the past, you couldn't talk to anyone. It was like a secret code, a secret fellowship of people that and everyone kind of hid their passion, literally in a closet.
I miss those
still
days.
Not as good as girls, Jim. But we wish you well, my friend. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Donna. Hey, Matt Money Smith.
Hey, what's happening, guys?
What's going on?
Yeah, my favorite time of the day. I was worried I wasn't going to get here in time.
Oh, couldn't do it without you.
Come
Matt
on,
Money Smith.
Who's naked? Who's naked on Twitter, Ralph? Tell me.
What
celebrities are naked on Twitter?
Well, Amanda Bynes.
We could do a whole break on Amanda Bynes' lunacy, but let's talk about some other stuff, including a very interesting list. Let's see how sync you are with music today.
Okay.
The kind of stuff that you like. Let's see if everybody else likes it. I'll read you the list of the top 10 tours of the past year, okay?
Oh, this is going to be great.
Top 10 money-making tours.
Is this going to make us angry?
Yes.
Okay. It's a veritable list of who's who today, right?
Yeah.
It's the kids that have got it going in rock and roll.
Eric Church.
Eric's Church?
No.
And
Eric,
it's like, one of those
Eric
big super churches.
Church.
Eric Church.
I don't even know that name.
Country singer?
Top
10. This is the 10th highest grossing tour of the past year.
All right.
Very, very popular.
Okay. Carrie Underwood, 9th.
Yep, got that.
Muse, who we love. We got to love Muse,
sure,
right?
There we go.
8th on the list.
Great live show.
Great. You would hope they would rank higher.
I would.
Especially when you hear who's above Muse.
Oh, yeah. Here we go.
Ricardo Arjona.
Muy bien.
Anyone? Anyone got anything?
I have to be honest. No, I don't know this one.
Is this that Tecate music or whatever they call it? Is that kind of stuff there? Is that what they were talking about?
Ranchero music.
The Who.
The Who?
Okay. 6th on the list.
The Who.
What decade are we living in? That's right. You heard me.
And half of them are dead.
It's called Who's Left.
Why you got to go after Entwistle like that? And Ralph, you shouldn't make light of the fact he's dead.
Maroon 5. 5th.
All right.
Maroon 5.
He's got a vehicle to push his tour there with the voice.
Pink. 4th on the list. Pink. Pink.
Right. That's sort of surprising.
Kenny Chesney. 3rd.
Well,
country.
He does wear sleeveless shirts and has beautiful biceps.
George Strait.
Wow.
Country.
What's happening?
Number one tour.
Don't tell me.
The past year. Box office grossing.
Don't say
it. John Bon Jovi. Bon freaking Jovi.
Fine.
He's a cowboy.
Fine. Just didn't want it to be
Steel Horse he rides?
He's wanted.
Oh, yeah. Better alive.
I'm wanted. Do the high part, Ralph. Do the falsetto for me.
I don't know that part.
I'm wanted.
Oh, you want the background?
Yeah.
Okay. Right, try it again. Okay, go ahead.
And I'm wanted.
Wanted.
Dead or alive.
It's so interesting hip-hop dominates radio.
Yes.
But
the country dominates live.
Yeah, but there's just nothing on that list even remotely close to hip-hop. There's no Kanye's, no Jay-Z's, no Lil Wayne's, nothing.
But they don't tour as extensively, I think.
Yeah,
that's
probably part of it, yeah.
You know,
they don't ride the steel horse.
They don't. They ride the steel limo.
Yeah, the G5.
That's right.
To France. Bastards.
Antoine Dotson, remember him? Remember your buddy Antoine Dotson?
Yeah, which one was he?
He was Hide Your Kids, Hide Your Wife.
Oh, they're raping
everybody. They're raping everybody up in here.
That's right, yes.
He was the man who exposed Linkin Park for the rapists that they are.
Nope,
remember?
It's
he
a place.
He told
That's
us
not
that
the
there
band.
Was a rapist nope. in Linkin Park,
right,
and we found
place.
Out which member it was.
Who was
not
it?
A
which
band.
One was it, Ralph?
I think it was Shinoda.
It wasn't.
Oh, I knew it.
It was not.
What?
Well, obviously, we have a rapist in Linkin Park.
See?
It's a place. He's speaking of a place.
Antoine, after that became a popular internet sensation with the interview, and then, of course, the Gregory Brothers did the legendary auto-tune version of that story.
Right.
He came out and, I don't think it was anybody's, it's a surprise anyone, that he was gay.
Right. He did that when we first saw him.
Yes. However, now he has renounced his homosexuality.
What?
Oh, you can do that?
He's given it up. He's no longer a homosexual.
Okay.
Well, did he go to gay camp?
I believe
they take it away from him.
I believe he did. He became a Hebrew Israelite.
Okay.
And along with the following of his religion, he is now no longer gay. He's announced.
Okay, he's still gay. He's just not acting on it anymore, right?
No, Bean. He's prayed the gay away.
Well, it doesn't work that way, Ralph.
Well, it does. God can do anything, Bean. Hello.
Be gay, man. Be gay.
No. He said, I want a wife and a family. I want to multiply.
Oh, no.
Well, that's, be fruitful and multiply.
That's right.
Yeah, gotta do that. Does he have a rabbinical beard now?
I haven't seen him lately, but...
Pretty great.
Is he touring with Manas Yahoo?
I could care less about the fame and fortune. I'm giving all that up to know the true history of the Bible.
Wait. Did he have fame and fortune?
Yeah, sure.
Huh.
And he's going Old Testament, too,
yeah,
huh?
Yeah, he is. He's
How about that?
Old Testament.
He's really digging deep.
He has declared himself the true chosen Hebrew Israelite descendant of Judah.
Okay.
Congratulations, Antoine.
Well, that's good news for him.
And invited his fans to hate me if you must, bash me if you must, but I won't break, for this is my calling.
Hmm.
So congratulations there, Antoine Dotson.
I guess.
Well, so what happens with Shinoda? Is he going to go to jail?
No, it's not. It wasn't one of the members of the band. No, it's just a place.
They were lacking evidence, but they're still...
Location name.
They're still interviewing DJ
not the band.
Khan.
Another story for another day, I guess. Huh?
Not the band.
They may all be rapists.
You ain't kidding.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Greg Gumbel is 67 years old today. The lesser of the Gumbel brothers.
And a man that sports an array of toupees.
Yes, he does.
Yeah, that's true.
And he rotates them.
And not since Alan Brady has there been so many toupees
Good call.
Laid out in front of someone.
I like that. Nice pull and Alan Brady.
Bobby Cannavale is 43 years old
We have
today.
A lot of listeners in the 60s, buddy, so we're good.
Dule Hill from Psych, 38 years old today. Christina Hendricks from that Mad Men show. Boy, she is built. Boy, is she Henry. Built. That's
pow,
pow,
like, pow, bam.
Bam. Like her to have back problems. You know what I mean?
She should have back problems all the time.
Yeah. I'm here, guys. I can hear you guys.
What?
Come on.
Is this on? Hello?
Cheryl Burke from Dancing with the Stars is 29. And the reason we celebrate the day, however, of course, is to celebrate the birthday of keyboardist of Soft Cell, David Ball.
Yeah. This time the love you've given, I give you
Listen
all
to that.
The boy
keyboard
could
work.
Give.
Not very good keyboard.
Without David Ball, we wouldn't have. Bam, bam, bam. He gave us that.
I could do that.
Thank you, David Ball, for your. Bam, bam.
Yeah.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
5 hours from right now, the K-Rock Weenie Roast 2013 is going to be sold out. Tickets go on sale at noon. So what do you guys figure? By 12:08, they're probably gone, I would imagine?
Probably. They can handle a lot of requests at one time.
I bought them all.
Verizon Wireless Amphitheater. Please don't say that. We have enough conspiracy theorists out there already, money. Anyway, you got to be a KROQ Street Team member to buy those tickets. That just means you register at KROQ.com so you can get the password to buy the tickets through Ticketmaster. It doesn't cost you anything. It takes like a minute, and then you get to see a great show coming up on May 18th with the Black Keys and 30 Seconds to Mars, Vampire Weekend of Monsters and Men, Silver Sun Pickups, Jimmy Eat World, Imagine Dragons, AWOL Nation, Atlas Genius, and much, much more. Get all those details at KROQ.com.
Money used to tour with Jimmy Eat World, didn't you?
I sure did.
You were their bassist.
Favorite people in the world. I was not their bassist.
You were their drummer? What was it?
I was not. Oh. You know, I like to think, Kevin, that I turned them into the rock stars they are. That's what I like to think. You know, speaking of 30 Seconds to Mars, they played a Weenie Roast a little while back. I'm sure you remember it. It was an epic performance by old Jared Leto there. We went back to our rock star hotel, and I walked into a public restroom, and there was only one other person in there, and it was aforementioned Jared Leto.
Uh-huh.
And he was, I'm just going to say, yeah.
Really?
Yeah, no dividers there, you know, between the
right.
And you peeked,
so you had to look.
You
can't help but look.
Well, you don't really have to peek there. You
really?
You just kind of. I was at one end, and he was at the other, and
did you have to?
It managed
push it out of the way.
It's just kind of almost like it's something there that's saying, "Hey, check me out."
Oh my God! Like, is it really that big?
And it Yeah. You know, when you're a young man and you're in high school athletics and you're introduced to the common shower, you discover that everybody is not built the same. And
right.
That was one of those moments when I realized that perhaps the DNA my parents passed on to me was not the same that Jared's passed on to him.
Well, he doesn't even need that, by the way.
He's
already an actor and a rock star. He doesn't need that.
You know, some people say that's why you become an actor and a rock star, because you have that sort of confidence from the time you're, I don't know, two, and you've figured out what's happening.
We learned a little something here today.
His penis was that big when he was two?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Hell of a diaper. Hell of a diaper.
I know I'm here to talk sports, but I figure I'd just start out with a little rock star genitalia for $200.
This is Matt Money Smith from the Petras and Money Radio Show on Fox Sports Radio. Is that the only rock star penis you've ever seen, Matt?
Boy, that's a good question. No, it is not. Although I don't know if you would qualify the members of Hagfish as rock stars. But it was the first tour I ever did when I got into the music business, and I met them in San Francisco, and we were at a very famous rock star hotel, the Phoenix Inn. The cafe there is called Miss Pearl's Jam House, which is kind of interesting. Sidebar. So I go into their room to get them ready for the first interview. I think we were doing something up there with the station. And the two brothers, Donnie and Zach, Zach is now a guitarist for Gwar, they both pull their pants down and say, "Hey, I want you to get a look at it right now, because we don't want you peeking somewhere down the road."
That's a good strategy.
Well, thanks, guys. I appreciate that. I'll make sure we're clear. We're all good. Yeah.
Do you ever miss being in the music business versus being in sports?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you know, truly, the Jimmy World guys are four of the best guys you could ever want to spend 2 weeks or 4 weeks on the road with, and ask to do things that they don't want to do, but they understand, you know, that they need to do them. So yeah, I mean, look,
like every time they come on our show,
right? Exactly. Oh, Kevin and Bean bastards again. And but they do it, and yeah, I mean, there's something about it's, you know what it is, it's and this is gonna, God, this is, I'm gonna be such a douche when I say this, but it is truly, you know, planting a seed, water, watching it grow, that whole thing. I mean, you take a band that nobody knows,
you're right, that's a douche,
and yeah, and next thing you know, they're playing the Weenie Roast, and it's just weird. You're like, wow, I remember when that band was playing at that place on Fairfax, and there were 10 people in the audience.
That was Matt
Money's
best life
are.
Before he turned into a sports guru.
Yeah.
That's right.
Here we are.
And how do you do, because you're such a smart guy, Money, how do you handle how dumb most athletes are when you have to interview them?
Well, you know, that's a good, there are some sports casters or radio show hosts that won't interview athletes. They just refuse to do it. It's too painful.
It's all cliches for the most part anyway.
You know, and I'll say this. They're not necessarily dumb. Their agents and the media training that the teams put them through ensure that they never say anything that will get them in trouble. And they are basically, from the second they become a professional, beaten into a state of don't ever say anything interesting.
And that's why when you come across somebody interesting, it's such a freak of nature.
And what happens? Their comments become controversial, and they become storylines, and it doesn't. There's nothing rewarding for the insightful athlete. There really isn't. You know,
that's interesting.
Yeah.
All right, let's talk NBA in a minute. Let's start with hockey, though, if you don't mind. I'd like to talk a little hockey.
About the old LA Kings last night.
Little
sniper shot there.
Ducks last night. Rough.
Yeah, it was
a rough night for both fans.
It was the worst thing. I mean, the Ducks didn't play well, but the problem with the Kings is they played well for 2.5 periods.
Yeah,
you know, I mean, they really did, and that was kind of how it was a flip of game one. Whereas the Kings played horrible, and the fact they had a chance to win that game, had they won, they would have just called the series. The Blues would have said, you know what, we're going to save money on the airplane fuel. We're just going to call it. There's no way we're beating these guys, but. The fact that they played as well as they did, couldn't capitalize on their power play. You know, they got the one goal from it was Dustin Brown. That's it was right. Credit to. But it was a bad loss. I mean, it really was a bad loss. But, you know, I mean, look, the Memphis Grizzlies, just to flip it to basketball, are a perfect example. They lost the first two on the road. Everyone figured the series was over and the Clippers were going to roll. And Clippers are probably going to get bounced from the playoffs tonight. So, I mean, it's no big deal that the Kings. Yeah, I mean, they lost those two, win the two here, and then steal one.
You say the Ducks didn't play well last night. I didn't see the game because I was watching the Kings, but they came back against Detroit, which is always heartening when your team comes all the way back, but then you lose in overtime is just a brutal gut punch.
That's just, you know, I think that always happens. You know, when you have to expend so much energy to dig yourself out of a pretty big hole. I mean, and that when you're playing the Wings and you're down 3-1, that's a big hole.
Yeah.
You know, and then you're out of gas, you know, and look, it's the Wings. It's a crappy pull for them, you know, to be the 2 seed and have to deal with the Red Wings, who've got Howard, who's a good goalie, and obviously one of the best players in the face of the earth. So it's just a tough deal for them.
Yeah.
Matt, what are the Kings not doing in the playoffs this year that they did last year so well?
Well, you know, I don't think it's – well, one – well, geez, there's a lot of answers there, I guess. One is, you know, Quickie obviously stood on his head the entire playoffs, and he's doing that. You know, I mean, he's making a lot of great saves, but he would have saved that shot last night from the blue line. I mean, he just would have. It's just the way the playoffs worked last night. So there's that. Two, they're dealing with a Blues team that is as physical as they are.
They're way better than last year.
And, absolutely. Yeah. And the trades they made, not to get too technical, but the trades they made, the two guys they got, Leopold and Bomeister, are really, really good.
Yeah.
And it's just the way that they've integrated them into this team, it makes tough sledding if you're trying to score, which is why not getting it on the power play really hurt the Kings last night. So I don't think it's anything they're not doing. They're still one of the four best teams, I mean, in the West. One of these teams is just going
to
get
bounced. Do I need to jump on the ice, do you think? Would that help?
Yeah, you know, I think you maybe just put on, you know, are we talking naked, or are you talking about suiting up?
I wasn't, I'm naked. Either way, whatever helps.
Thinking, you know, because you're not going to stay and score anything. I'm thinking you want to rally the troops.
You know? Kevin's just a distraction.
Yeah,
he's the mascot.
Exactly. You got to distract Bomeister there.
This is the voice of Matt Money Smith from the PMS show here on the Kevin and Bean Show. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, by the way, we'll talk some more sports, and also, believe it or not, we're going to have some Kings playoff tickets to give away.
Oh,
so we'll discuss that and give them to you when we come back right after this on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. I don't know how it turned into the sports hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show, but we'll talk to the LA Galaxy's Landon Donovan coming up in about 10 minutes or so. And right now, our friend Matt Money Smith is on. He is with the Petros & Money radio show, of course, on AM 570 weekday afternoons. Hey, before we talk about some other stuff, Money, we have some playoff tickets for the Los Angeles Kings to give away. They're playing St. Louis again on Monday night at Staples Center. You have a question for our listeners.
Yeah, you know, the television broadcast team for the Kings, legendary because of Bob Miller. He is the greatest voice in all of hockey, but his color analyst never gets the attention he deserves. That is Jim Fox. Kings fans love him.
Yeah.
He's a great guy. He's been with the organization as a player and an ambassador and a broadcaster for over 3 decades. So how about giving Foxy a little bit of love? Let's take the caller. What are we doing? Caller?
No, whichever person first comes
caller.
Up with.
Here we go. Oh, that's right. First caller comes up with the answer to this question. That would help. Figure it out, Smith.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
What number did Foxy wear when he was skating in those beautiful purple and gold unis with the crown on the chest there? What number did Foxy sport? And you are going to the Kings game on Monday.
And if you haven't been to a playoff hockey game, crazy.
No, nothing touches it.
1-800-520-1067. First person through with the correct answer to that question wins tickets for Kings playoff. I want to go back to basketball for just a second because we briefly mentioned you said the Clippers could easily lose tonight and be out of it. How disappointing for that team this year that had nothing but momentum
them all season long, had a personal best in their record for the year. And to end up going out the same round as the Lakers, that's going to be crushing for them if it happens.
No question, because it is, especially with the injury to Russell Westbrook, you know, it was going to be tough to win the second round against Oklahoma City. They were far and away the best team in the Western Conference. But when Russell Westbrook went down, it changed things dramatically, and you could argue that the Clippers had the better team going into that series and should win and advance to the conference finals and take their shot at the Spurs. Now, that would not be an easy series, but the path is considerably easier, and Chris Paul has played out of his mind.
Yes.
There is no more likable, I'm telling you, it's hard to find a more likable player in the NBA than Chris Paul.
Likable and reliable. Both.
Absolutely. Right. I mean, there were a couple plays in that game they lost to the Grizzlies, game five, that just, it's remarkable how conscious he is of the situation at hand. There was a play where the ball got slapped into the backcourt, and most point guards would just scramble to get it. He looks at the shot clock and the play clock and realizes if he just lets it roll out of bounds that he'll have less than 24 seconds on the play clock so they can just wait for the last shot. I mean, it's
that
brilliant.
Quick thinking. Yeah.
Exactly.
How old is he, Matt?
He's late 20s. I think he's 28, 29, right in that range. Same age as like Dwight Howard.
Is Blake Griffin's injury the reason?
Bad deal. No. Oh, no. It's coaching. Vinny's horrible.
That was going to be my next question. Is he got nothing but criticism for not adjusting during the games. Memphis could change it up and he would just run the same thing over and over again, and it wasn't working.
Yeah, they Lionel Hollins. Look, Lionel Hollins is a great coach, the coach for the Grizzlies, but you just watch. There was a sequence at the end of the first half, and we were talking about this during the commercial break. I mean, it's not like I'm some sort of NBA genius, but I watch a lot of basketball, and you can recognize these things from your couch. He sits DeAndre Jordan at the end of the first half. He puts Blake, who's got an injured ankle, on Marc Gasol, and Marc Gasol kind of looks over his shoulder, and he's like, really? This guy with
fantastic.
Two fouls is guarding me and he's got a bad ankle? Boom, just lay up, done. The lead stretches from 4 to 8, and it was all because of that one decision. Blake picks up his third foul, it becomes a giant mess, and it's little things like that that are magnified in the postseason when you're losing games, not by 20 or 30, well, the Clippers did when they were in Memphis, but when it's tight games, that's when those decisions are magnified, and he has not fared well.
Oh, this is a tough year to be a Clipper fan because you have so much hope.
Yeah, you know, the thing in that series was Chris Paul's the best player on the floor, and he is.
Yeah.
You know, so when all things are even, you take the team with the best player. Marc Gasol and Zach Randolph have turned into, you know, the combination of those two have turned into an equal foe to Chris Paul, and they've really put it on that Clippers front court, something fierce. I would be surprised if they got out of this game tonight, and that'd be a damn shame because it's a really good team that could have made a deep run.
And who do the Lakers play next?
Let's see. I think you got Kobe and down in Newport. He might be playing golf.
Okay,
and I think Powell back in Spain. Yeah, so there's that.
Okay.
Will the coach for the Clippers get fired in the offseason?
Yes. Well, if Chris Paul wants him to be fired. I know that's not fair to Chris Paul to put it on him that he's some sort of coach killer. But he's a free agent, and he wants to win. He has a nasty competitive streak inside of him. And it's clear that, you know, they'd be doing a lot better with someone that was a little bit more savvy as a bench jockey.
That's not a bad thing to put on Chris Paul, then. That's a good thing to put on Chris Paul,
right.
Because
it's
a decision he would make so that they could win.
And that is a highly desirable job. I mean, you want to talk about having talent on a team with Jamal Crawford and Chris Paul and Eric Bledsoe and Blake Griffin. I mean, that is... and I did intentionally leave DeAndre Jordan's name out of that. That's a highly desirable job, and they can get a big time, you know, like one of the Van Gundy brothers. That's the kind of coach I'd be looking for there.
The question for Kings playoff tickets for Monday against St. Louis at Staples Center was: Jim Fox, color guy for the Kings broadcast team, is a former Kings player himself. What number did he wear? That was the question. First caller through, we think, with the correct answer. Let's find out. Is Stephanie on the line? A chick who knows hockey, you guys. How turned on are we right now? It's the best. Hi, Stephanie.
Hi.
Oh, she's hot. She's probably hot, you guys.
Take it easy, Bean.
She's probably really hot.
Kevin, I actually met you at a Galaxy game once.
You were fantastic.
All right, you've heard the question. What's the answer?
He's number 19.
Number 19 is correct.
Yeah, there we go, Steph.
Fantastic. You got tickets for Monday night.
Oh, my God. I want to cry. I'm so excited.
That's game number four.
That's what I'm talking about. Someone wants to cry.
Thank you so much for listening.
It happens to me far too often when I engage with women.
And for calling, Stephanie. You hold on. We'll get you all the information. Money, can you stick around for us to talk to Landy coming up next?
I'm sorry, who?
Landon Donovan.
Oh, Landy. OLD. Sure.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. Wow. The Kevin and Bean Show at 7:37.
You put grown men in a tight space.
What the hell?
And next thing you know, beer mug. Just, I mean, a roadblock over there. A roadblock of a man. What did you order? A foot-long meatball? No, extra cheese?
Unbelievable.
What can we do? Seriously, let's make a deal right now before we go to Landon Donovan on the phone. What can we do to get you to take beer mug off of our show and put him on your show? Please.
Nothing.
There must be a spot for him over at PMS.
You
Come
know what,
on.
Though, Bean? I'll tell you real quick because
you're
waiting.
You guys get on the air right away.
I don't
stuff.
Want him. I have zero interest in
you
him.
You don't want
no.
him blocking
no.
the way?
No, right. not at all. I want to, before Landon calls, quickly, Kevin, I want you to tell Bean what I have in my hand.
You have a $20 bill.
Bean, $20.
No, I'm not.
I will give you $20 right now.
What's the bet?
The Angels versus the Mariners. Bean has paid me every single year. Because the Angels have finished with a better record than the Mariners every single year since this bet originated in 2002.
Okay. Has it been that years. Long? Oh, my God.
It's been 11
and
years.
Bean pays in pesos and whatever.
Last year, he paid me in origami folded $1 bills, origami stars, which, by the way, we still have. They're wonderful. $5 increments. Each star is $5. I just give the kids a star for their hot lunch at school. And
let them unwrap
let
the
them
dollars.
Figure it out, yeah. So $20 right now, Bean. They're barely, I think, what, they have a game and a half lead on the Angels right now?
Yeah, I think we're 5 games under .500. The Angels are 7 games under, I think is where we are. But we're early in the season, and I still, even though
There's
we have
still
no,
like 5,000 games
Even
left.
Though we have no pitching, I still have confidence in
$40.
My
Mariners. I'll give you $40.
I know that the Rangers are actually going to go to the World Series this year, but I still have confidence that my Mariners will beat the Angels at the end of the season.
Mark
really
it down,
can.
May 3rd. Rue the day. Yeah. You will
you
rue get, the
you
day.
You gave
Bean.
Me the option. You
did
give me the choice.
All right.
But I'm going to pass. Thank you very much.
$99, Bean,
I'm
I'll
not
give
gonna,
you right now.
All right. Look, we made a bet.
Yep.
All right. Landon Donovan is on the phone, of course, the Los Angeles Galaxy back in town at the Home Depot Center against Houston. That's always a great matchup. The game is going to be Sunday night. Kevin, I know you're going to be there, and it's a great night for Galaxy fans and Landon fans because it's Landon Donovan bobblehead night, and he joins us on the phone here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hi, Landon. How are you, man?
I'm doing great. How are you guys?
We're fine. We have your friend Matt Money Smith from the PMS show just happens to be in with us today. I know you spoke with him recently, but he's on the line, too.
Honey, what's going on?
Man? What's happening, Landon? That bobblehead is weird looking, brother. What the hell did they do to your head?
I just showed him a picture of Cholo Donovan.
Well, I'll tell you what's worse than that is going to the children's hospital with Kevin and walking around with your own bobblehead trying to give it to people.
and they say, no thanks, I'm good.
Yeah, they're like, yeah, that's pretty narcissistic.
Went to children's hospital yesterday for a little while, and you walk into a kid's room, and it is where I said, is it odd for you to, like, offer somebody your own bobblehead?
Yeah.
He's like, yes, this is the weirdest thing ever.
Yeah, there's a few things that uncomfortable.
Well, look, we're going to talk about Children's Hospital because they are sponsoring the bobblehead night on Sunday, but I want to talk about the bobblehead first. What's the process? How? I mean, did they just do this from a drawing or something? Did you actually sit for it and make some sort of a 3D model they could work off of?
No, I mean, I guess an email at some point last year saying that they wanted to do it, and then you're sort of at their disposal at that point. They just take a picture and do what they do, and that's it, you know?
So then when it shows up with a gigantic forehead that's like twice the size of yours.
Well, at least it's lifelike, right?
and you have the patchiest 5 o'clock shadow on your bobblehead in the history of the world.
My beard is, though. It's actually pretty good.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, the first 10,000 fans in attendance will get the Landon Donovan bobblehead at the game, and you can buy tickets on sale now for the game against Houston on Sunday. Tell me, Kevin, about what it was like for you going to Children's Hospital yesterday with Landon.
I got to tell you, it was
something else.
You go to Children's Hospital and you realize that those kids are unbelievable. They're 2 and 3 and 4 years old, and they have cancer, and they're so happy.
Yeah.
And the parents there are so strong, and the nurses are so amazing, and the doctors, and then you're just... It's just your giant head. You're just a waste of a space walking down the hallway, and you just feel like such a loser.
Yeah.
Because these people are so amazing. Is that what you felt, Landon? Because
it's interesting. I mean, aside from the initial sort of frosty reception when they see the bobblehead, I think they're all they're all excited to see us. But you do feel a little like, you know, everyone tells us how great we are. Kevin's on the radio, and everyone hears him, and people come watch our games. But these kids are just, they're sweet, and they're real, and they're genuine. and they're happy to see you, but you kind of feel like, you know, not that special, and these kids are pretty special people, and it's fun for us. I think we had a really good time.
Yeah, I think we got more out of it than they did, for sure.
Yeah, but every time I'm in a situation like this, and I'm not emotionally or mentally prepared to deal with the reality of the cards that some people are dealt, you just want to shake your fist at God and go, it's not fair, I don't understand it. And it's hard not to be overwhelmed by the emotion of that.
Yeah, it's true, and yeah, I know, Kevin, I know you were a little hit by that, and you have children of your own, so it's different for those of us who don't have children. You can't really understand it, but when you see a child that's the age of your children going through something like that, I'm sure that's tough to handle.
It is. It's rough. Totally. Well, Children's Hospital does phenomenal work and have for decades. And again, they're sponsoring the Bobblehead Night on Sunday against Houston. That's about as big a rivalry as you get, right, Landon? Houston?
Yeah, well, it dates back to when Houston was in San Jose and got relocated to Houston. San Jose now has their own franchise again, but I used to play for San Jose, so I played with a lot of the guys who are now in Houston, and the last 2 years in a row, we've played them in the final, and won, I will add, but we played them 2 years in a row in the final, so they're going to come here with a little bit of a chip on their shoulder.
Now, Landon, this is your first game back, and you were gone.
No, he's played.
Well, he's back from Cambodia. He was gone for a while, right. And now he's back, and he's got perhaps an appearance on the national team coming up on June 18th. I never got a chance to ask you, why Cambodia? Like, what was going on over there? Why'd you pick that spot?
I didn't have it in mind. Someone recommended it. A person I know who's a travel agent said they had just had a client come back from there and strongly recommended it, and I just sort of wanted a trip by myself to sort of get away from everything, and that's sort of as isolated as it gets, so it worked out well.
Let's talk about the national team. Money just mentioned it a second ago. You want to play.
Of course.
They need you. The coach is, of course, saying, you know, we got to see how he's doing and if he's really dedicated and blah, 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 but the team didn't exactly set the world on fire so far, so you think that'll happen?
I hope so. At the end of the day, any way you cut it, you have to perform to get called up to the national team. But, you know, I'm still confident in my abilities. I still think I can help the team. You know, will it be in the same way as the past? I don't know. But I still think I can help the team. So I gotta do my part and then hope to get called in and be back again. I miss it. I want to play with the national team again. It's been a long time, and I have sort of newfound perspective and love for it, and I want to be back there.
You can't possibly have wanted to play in the Snow Bowl in Denver when they were.
Oh, that was awesome.
that was unbelievable. Like 3 feet of snow.
I told you, those games are fun just because they're different. You know, if you played, you know, 500 plus times in your life, it's fun to do something that's different. So
for the first half.
Yeah, maybe for 5 minutes, and then I get out of
there, but it was fun. Why couldn't they run over to the Sports Authority and get, like, an orange ball? I mean, shouldn't they have, like, figured something out that they needed? I think they went to a yellow ball a little bit later in the game, right?
I'm not sure what happened. That should have been sort of standard procedure, but I don't know if there was. Maybe they didn't have a yellow or orange Nike ball or, you know, sponsor.
There you go.
I have no idea, but there was something going on there.
It was crazy.
We have five pair of tickets, by the way, if you want to see the LA Galaxy versus Houston this Sunday, May 5th, at the Home Depot Center. Give us a call at 1-800-520-1067. Landon, were you happy when Robbie Keane pretty much pulled all of the defenders to him and just gifted you that first goal? Did that feel good?
Yeah, that was pretty nice. It's like when if you're in a big slump, you sort of need, like, just a little tap-in goal to get you going. And I hadn't played for a while. I hadn't felt really myself yet. I really wanted to score. I wanted to contribute. And on that play, he goes down the field by himself. And I just ran just to sort of like the obligatory, like, run because people are going to be mad if you don't try to get there. And I didn't really think he was going to see me. And then he found me, and I had an easy tap, and it was a nice way to get going again.
Did you have 1 second where you went, this is too easy, I could miss it?
Oh, yeah. I mean, trust me, I've missed chances. Like, but the thing is if it comes quickly to you, you don't have time to think about it.
No, that's
react.
True.
But when it comes slowly like it did, you're thinking, okay, don't mess up. If it bounces,
right.
Don't hit it wide. Everyone's going to laugh at you, you know.
The goalie's not in the goal. There's no one around.
Exactly.
Hey, Landon, because you played in Germany, we have an all-German Champions League final, Dortmund versus Bayern. What is that crowd going to look like? Are they still like 20 years behind us? Are they wearing acid wash jeans and sporting mullets and wearing fluorescent tops? I mean, because that's how it always has been in Germany, right?
I guess. I don't know. I haven't been there in a long time. That's how it was when I was there.
Right? See what I mean?
I was wearing the same jeans and had the same mullet.
Well,
it's going to be interesting. I mean, it's pretty cool for German soccer to have that, and it'll make the game really exciting. They're two teams that know each other really well, so it should be great.
Well, listen, we're out of time. LA Galaxy against Houston, against the Dynamo this Sunday night at Home Depot Center. Get your tickets at LAGalaxy.com. First 10,000 fans get a bobblehead that they're claiming is Landon Donovan. We're not sure who they actually used to model it after. But, Landon, you're always very kind with your time coming on the Kevin DeBede Show. We appreciate you again today, sir.
Thank you, Kevin. Thanks for doing that yesterday.
You
that
bet.
Great.
Thank you, Landon. Rob, I hate to take up too much of your time, but do we have time for a moment with Bean?
Liv.
And now, a moment with Bean.
This is like when May and Trat and May, rather, when they... What am I trying to say here, Kevin?
Matt and Trey. Yeah.
Matt and Trey, thank you.
Let's
this is
Matt
like
and May from now on.
That was A Moment with Bean.
Help me, Kevin, help me. Help me, Kevin, help me.
What a wuss,
says the guy who won't help
me. I was confused and troubled all in that second that it occurred to me that I had no way out of that hole I had dug myself into.
That is my everyday life, Bean.
That's scary, dude. I don't know how you have the confidence to come in and get behind a mic if that's what it's like. Jeez, it was scary. All right, Ralph is here. Time for another look at the Showbiz Beat on a Friday morning Kevin and Bean Show. What's going on, Ralph?
What's going on? Tomorrow night, Kevin Smith and I are doing our patented comedy about show business people, about people who are rich and famous and better looking than we are, and we get I get drunk, he gets stoned, and we have ourselves a good time. It's happening at the Laugh Factory in Long Beach. That place has been so good to us, and everyone down there has been so nice. We're going back again to the Laugh Factory in Long Beach. We'd love to have you come out and see us tomorrow night at 10 p.m. You can get your tickets.
The Bible's again it. God's again it.
No,
I'm again it.
No.
And if you've got any sense, you're again it.
No, God's not again it.
Who says again it?
That guy. Tomorrow night, 10 o'clock, and you can go to Babylon Ralph, or you can go to laughfactory.com and get your tickets. We'd love to see you come out and join us. 50 years after it was written, we're finally getting to see Bob Dylan's anti-nuke song.
All right.
Yeah. 1963, he wrote it, but he never published or recorded it.
Hmm.
And now the lyrics are going up for sale on the auction block at Christie's. On June the 26th, it's an unknown, previously unheard, unseen Bob Dylan song, which always causes some interest. It's called, now keep this in mind, it's an anti-nuke song, right? It's a song against the nuclear bomb
weapons.
From
okay.
1963.
All
the song
right.
is called Go Away, You Bomb.
Say what?
And that's written by his grandchild? Go away, you bomb.
No.
It does sound like a Dr. Seuss novel.
No way is that real.
Would you drop it on a town?
Would you drop it
on a clown?
Are you kidding?
Go away, you bomb. You want to hear some of the lyrics? You want to hear some of the lyrics?
Please.
Yes, I more than anything.
I hate you because you're man-made and man-owned and man-handled. And you might be mismade and misowned and mishandled and misused. And I hate you because you could drop on me by accident and kill me.
Why did he not record and publish that one, Ralph?
I think you just heard
Wow.
one. Go away, you bomb.
And this was it. What year did you say?
1963.
So this was the height of his
creative
powers?
No,
this was the very beginning.
Very beginning.
First couple of years of
So he made a good decision to keep that one shelved.
Yeah. Now the lyrics are being sold.
I sure. got this one over here blowing in the wind. I could put that out, or I could do Go Away, You Bomb. Which one should I go with?
Go Away, You Bomb.
You
stop being so bomby.
You bomb.
Hate you.
Carrie Fisher, it's confirmed, is going to be the next Star Wars movie. So Disney, according to sources, has done, well, the right thing. Whereas they've hired a trainer to get Carrie in shape to reprise her role as Princess Leia.
A lot of
sure,
that to be
for
done.
For the upcoming Star Wars film. She lost a bunch of weight, actually. I think she just needs to lose a little bit more before she's camera ready, as they say. I wish someone would do that for me. I wish someone would hire me for a job and they say, okay, we also got you a nutritionist and a trainer and a team. And in 6 months, we're going to just put you in the best shape you've ever been in your life.
That'd be pretty nice.
Wouldn't that be nice? You had nothing to do all day but just work out and eat right and take care of yourself. And that was your job. You just go there and you do that. That's what you
have
do.
Have a team around you.
Yes, and everyone sure supports you. Make sure they pick you up. They take you to the gym. They handle you.
That'd be all right.
That'd be great.
Ralph, you don't need that, though. You're fine, right? You look like you're in as
I'm
good a shape
fine.
As you've been.
Nah, I could lose a few pounds. You know,
go away, you pounds.
Go away, you pounds.
You're not in Carrie Fisher territory.
Come here,
you
muscle. No, I'm not in Carrie Fisher territory. But it'd be nice if you had the time and energy and wherewithal to get into really great shape. You know,
sure.
Like Dwayne the Rock Johnson.
Yeah,
he's in good shape. He's in good shape with his career too. You like that?
That was sweet.
Thanks. He's getting a new series on HBO. Looks like he is
I heard about this.
Developing
yeah, yeah, yeah.
a show in conjunction with his buddy Mark Wahlberg, who co-starred with The Rock, of course, in Pain and Gain. Mark will be the executive producer of an HBO show in the works about a group of retired athletes all living together in Miami. So it's like Entourage, but with retired athletes in Miami.
Now, will he act on it as well?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Jeez.
He'll be one of the stars.
Spread himself pretty thin.
Yeah, he's making movies, and of course he's got another series on TNT coming up this summer called The Hero. He will be the host of that competition series to test real people and see whether they have what it takes to be a hero or not. I'm guessing they don't.
That's it's just no go away, you bomb.
Go away, you heroes.
Get over that.
Today's celebrity birthday is dancer Cheryl Burke from Dancing with the Stars is 29 years old. Christina Hendricks is 38. Actor Dule Hill from Psych and, of course, The West Wing. He is 38 years old. Bobby Cannavale is 43. The delicious Rebecca Hall. You know the actress Rebecca Hall?
Oh, sure.
Whew, boy, she's a good deal. She's good in that deal. New Iron Man 3.
Oh.
She's 31 years old today. Greg Gumbel of the sports announcing Gumbel family is 67. And guitar keyboardist David Ball of Soft Cell.
This pain that love you give, I give you all.
Come on.
Boy could give
bring it home.
Take my tears and that's not
David.
Oh,
David hit two keys.
Let's just keep going. Dun, dun.
Oh, you don't get it.
Is that it?
You don't know.
No, I'm asking if that's the keyboard
there.
Part. I wasn't there. That's why I'm
funny
asking.
When it's your mom, is it? I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Actor Shane West joins us later in the hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Believe it or not, he's got a comic book out, too. Plus, Kevin Smith will be here in the 9 o'clock hour. First, though, Ralph Garman, you're going to be so excited. We have a topic very near and dear to your heart here.
What's that? A top 10 list of the best-selling infomercial products.
Best products you can get are available via infomercial.
Ralph is the biggest sucker for infomercials that I've ever met.
I resent that characterization more than I can possibly express.
Every time he comes across an infomercial, he must watch the whole thing.
If someone were going to come to you and say, I have an amazing product that's going to help you in your life, can I show it to you? You'd be a fool to say no. So naturally, yes, I watch the commercial.
Right.
And often purchase
crap
said product.
Right. Ralph,
didn't most infomercials used to be things that were not sold in stores? It seems like that's changed now in recent years.
It is still primarily the goods on infomercials are sold via internet and phone. However, they have found they do increase a certain amount of sales if they put it a small section of as seen on TV items in, you know, Rite Aids and CVSs and stores like that.
A wise man once said,
how can you love it? It's crap.
Because it's not crap. Just because it's sold via television doesn't make it crap.
No, but it is crap.
Everything is sold via television, by the way.
Right.
But most of this does turn out to just be crap. You throw it out. You don't use it. Whatever. Your wife has thrown out some stuff.
My wife doesn't,
she doesn't appreciate your love.
My wife doesn't get it. She is not... when it comes to the value of certain implements and devices, is not doesn't have the vision, let's say, that I have.
All right, we're going to take your calls if you bought crap off TV.
It's not crap.
1-800-520-1067. Even
look,
it's not
some
crap.
Things are crap. Some things are crap, okay. But some things are crap that you buy in stores, too, right?
I'm going to give you the top 10 infomercials, and you tell me if you have them. This is number 10.
Every single time you squeeze Thighmaster, you strengthen and tone right where you need it. So it's easy to squeeze your way to shapely hips. And thighs.
Oh, sure. The Thighmaster.
You have that.
Suzanne Summers.
Right?
No, I never had the Thighmaster.
Oh, you didn't
never
fall for that one?
Well, it's not. It was mostly private aimed towards women for working and getting toning of the inner thigh.
But that's not crap. I mean, it worked. It served its purpose. Yeah. You go to a gym now, you see those machines where you put your knees in there and you close them. It's got weights on them. It's a real exercise.
Number 9, best-selling infomercial of all time.
This is my brand new aerobic workout tape, Sweating to the Oldies. And if you don't like having fun, well, you best not come in here. Whoa!
What is happening with Richard Simmons? Take it easy.
He's having a good time.
What the hell?
He's sweating to the oldies.
I'll bet you don't have that one.
I never really needed to sweat and or enjoy the oldies.
I know for a fact you have number 8 because you talked about it forever.
I don't know, man.
There's the Snuggie, the blanket that has sleeves. The Snuggie keeps you totally warm and gives you the freedom to use your hands. So now you can work the remote or read a book in total warmth and comfort.
Oh, that's great.
Snuggies! It's a genius item. It's a blanket with sleeves.
Right. We understand the concept. When was the last time you used it?
I...
Not so often,
used
huh?
It, no, I used it last...
Yeah, that's what I thought.
No, I used it last, I guess, last winter. Last winter. Well, I gave my wife one. I gave my mom one.
And
how was the last time they used them? I do. But you know how nice it is when you have a blanket up to your neck on a cold winter's night?
Yeah, because you really get just stifled by a regular blanket.
But you don't have to worry about it. You got your sleeves through the Snuggie, so it doesn't matter.
I do love in that commercial the people who get trapped in the blanket. They can't get out.
You get trapped under a blanket.
Sometimes the dramatizations aren't as lifelike as you would
We are taking your calls at 1-800-520-1067. What are we looking for, though? We're looking for people who either had an awesome experience with something they bought that they love, or they just bought something that, as Kevin supposes, it was just terrible, right?
Like
a disaster.
Yeah.
Like a big waste of time. So if you had an infomercial project that was great or one that was terrible, you can give us a call right now as we go through the top 10 infomercials of all time.
Now, I think number 7 is probably not for you. It's PetEgg. This is
callus remover.
Yeah.
PetEgg, the amazing new foot grooming miracle that removes old dried skin in minutes. Don't use potato peeling tools. PetEgg is so safe and gentle it won't harm a balloon.
All right.
They got a new one. You put some kind of stuff all over your foot, like callus away or something. You put this gunk all over your foot and you wrap it up and then you take it off and you can just peel sheets of skin off your foot.
That sounds gross.
Wow. But it's awesome. It takes all the dead skin and calluses off
your feet. Don't use a potato peeler.
No.
Ralph, I'm surprised with you as an actor and a guy who loves infomercials didn't get into this line of work. You could sell the crap out of this stuff.
I could. If they would just hire me, I would. Absolutely.
All right, let's take a few calls as we go through this list because these are ones that are not on the top 10. Let's start with Sarah, who bought a piece of crap and loves it. Hey, Sarah.
Hi.
What did you buy?
What do you got, Sarah?
I have bought the perfect pancake, and it's amazing.
Perfect pancake is amazing. I have the perfect pancake, too, Sarah.
Bean's got the perfect pancake, too.
I do. I love pancakes.
Do you make eggs?
No, just pancakes.
Oh, no, the eggs are awesome. You make perfect over medium eggs every time.
That's
Listen
a great
to the
story.
Excitement in Sarah's voice for the perfect pancake.
That's
She's
a
still,
great story.
Still excited about
I'd
it.
I'd like to buy the movie rights to that story.
Thank you, Sarah, very much for the call.
Right.
Why are you mocking? She bought a product on television that was exactly as advertised, and she's happy with it. What's there to hate about that, Kevin?
Where's the downside?
Where's the downside, indeed? You guys are right. I apologize.
All right,
number 6 is the Showtime rotisserie.
It's the best machine they ever bought. I love the Showtime rotisserie oven. It is so versatile. I can use it outside. I can cook healthy foods to live for. Cleaning's a snap. A wonderful machine. Thank you, Ron, for inventing it.
Thank you, Ron.
Ron Popeil, of course, legendary creator of the Pocket Fisherman, also created the rotisserie. That was his biggest selling item, I believe.
All right, let's talk to Carrie about something she bought, and we'll find out if she likes it. Hi, Carrie.
Hi.
What did you buy?
Well, I've bought many things, but the worst one of all was probably the Eggies.
Yes, the Eggies, a disaster.
Wait, Bean, you bought that too?
I bought the Eggies.
Yeah.
I bought the Eggies.
You bought the Eggie too?
The Eggies was terrible.
I had a disappointing experience with the Eggies. It was way too complex and complicated. It didn't look nearly that complicated on television.
Really?
Yeah.
That's their job on TV is to make it look simple.
It was, and you got to separate and clean it. There were gaskets and parts and things, and there was like a lever and pulley system involved. I was not happy.
Gary, there was like 20 steps. Just to boil it in. Right?
It looks so simple on the commercial.
Thank you for the call, Gary. No,
bad.
I got suckered in by the Eggies, too.
Yeah,
I did.
All right.
Top 5 when we come back, and your call is 1-800-520-10. lot of people don't know, wrote that song after he bought the perfect egg. Or the eggy, or whatever it is you people hated.
Perfect pancake rocks. The eggy's no good.
The eggy, okay. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It's Kevin and Bean Show at 24 minutes after 8 o'clock.
We are talking about the best-selling infomercial products of all time. If you're just joining us, the Thighmaster, Sweatin' to the Oldies, the Snuggie, the Pet Egg, and the Showtime Rotisserie, I think were the top five that we've heard already. We got five more here to go. Let's go to, just real quick, let's go to Mindy, because I guarantee, I don't know the list, Kevin, but I guarantee Mindy on line six has one that's not on the list, but I'm dying to know what it's like.
Hi, Mindy.
Hi.
You have what?
How are you? Hi,
good.
Guys.
Hi. What did you buy? What did you buy?
I bought the pajama jeans.
Oh, you're so lazy.
Why? I have to tell you. Listen, though.
I can tell you why.
I've been watching those infomercials for years and making fun of them.
Right.
And I decided that maybe my mom would like those.
Right.
So
that's good.
I decided to order a pair for myself as well. But they have the regular ones, which are horrible. They look like bell bottoms.
Right.
But they have ones they call their skinny jeans, and they come in this darker color, and they're awesome. They're so awesome.
So they're really comfy sort of tights, but they look like jeans, right?
Right. So my mom wears hers to work and everything. I tend to kind of wear mine around the house or when I'm running errands, like to the grocery store or something. They feel like leggings. They're so comfortable.
And you don't have that constrictive belt area.
Yeah. On the inside, they have kind of this soft, fuzzy flannel. They're so comfortable.
Those are called sweatpants.
I'm such a nerd for wearing them, but I love them.
All right.
There you go. She sounds happy. Like she's doing her own infomercial right now. Like she's really selling it.
She's
all right,
happy.
Mindy.
Thank you
very much for the call.
Kevin
what else you
doesn't
got
like
listener?
It because she's happy. That's what he doesn't like.
Here's number five.
It can change everything. This is Bowflex, an entire gym in one easy-to-use machine. So powerful, it delivers over 60 health club-quality exercises with up to 410 pounds of resistance.
You know, I don't have it myself, but I have one friend who has the Bowflex, and he loves it.
Still really? Uses it?
Still uses it.
It's a home gym. Do they still run those ads? I feel like I haven't seen the Bowflex in a while.
Yeah, they still got the Bowflex.
This is a little bit, the list is a little bit older. So some of this stuff is a little bit older. Like number four has been known for a long time to be a huge seller.
America's favorite grill is America's favorite gift. Get a George Foreman Lean Mean Fat Reducing Grilling Machine for someone you love.
Got it.
George Foreman Grill is awesome. Are you kidding me?
You have a
two. I do too.
I have several sizes.
I do too. I love the George Foreman Grill. It's the easiest cooking you'll ever do, Kevin.
Let's
and all the fat rolls off and goes into the tray, so it's better for you and everything. It's awesome.
Guys are hot.
It's awesome. What's wrong with you?
Hey, Leslie.
Hey, what's going on?
You bought what?
The shake weights.
That's just dumb.
That's
just to make a porn video with while you use it.
Absolutely.
And?
Oh, I hit myself in the face.
Good. Excellent. So you stopped using it after that.
Now, what is the shake weight supposed to do? Is that supposed to tone your arms or something?
Yes.
Yes. It's
through resistance.
To tone your arms. Similar to the Thighmaster, you only have to use it a couple times a day. And I used it once, and it was great. And then the second time, I hit myself right in the jaw.
That one is just hit yourself in the jaw. That one is just mainly for men to watch women do.
Right, exactly.
I agree.
You know what's free? Leslie, you know what's free? A push-up.
Thank you very much for the call. Let's go to Sam real quick. He's on line seven. He's very dissatisfied with an As Seen on TV product as well. Sam, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. What'd you buy?
What's going on, guys? This is Santa Monica!
Oh, I missed him.
We got Santa Monica.
Very nice. I missed the Santa Monica guy.
Definitely been a while. Let's go to Linda. Linda's on line one, and then we'll hear the top three infomercial sellers of all time. Hi, Linda.
Hey there.
You bought what?
I bought an ab roller.
Oh, the ab roller. It makes it so simple to do, strengthen your stomach.
There's nothing simple about that thing. It was like some sort of weird monkey torture device.
Why do you want to torture monkeys? I don't understand.
Some sort of monkey torture device.
It definitely didn't improve my abs. The only thing it improved is my idea that maybe I'm actually fat sick.
Well, okay, I did its job.
Anybody who's looking for a shortcut to lose weight or work out deserves what they get if they buy one of those things.
I wasn't trying to lose weight. I just thought it said it would tone my abs, so I thought, I could use a little tone.
Who doesn't want that?
Exactly.
They may be toned, but if it's under 4 inches of fat, it doesn't matter. The muscle may be toned, but it's covered in blubber.
I would have been satisfied with a 2-pack ab.
No, you have to lose weight. What's wrong with you?
Thank you, Linda, for the call. We appreciate it.
I got the ab lounge, which was another
ab lounge.
Ab machine, the infomercial. There's several of them.
Yeah.
Ab Roller was BS. Ab Lounge was awesome.
The Ab Lounge?
Ab Lounge, yeah.
All right. Did it work, Ralph?
It did work, yeah. I got a great burn in my head.
Just
my
look
head.
At you.
Speaking of getting in shape, number three is Total Gym.
This is what's great about the Total Gym. It works on all the muscles. You name it. Chest, arms, thighs, biceps, shoulders. And at the same time, it's working the gut. And also, you can fluctuate your workout.
Yeah.
F Chuck Norris and F that commercial. Doesn't work. It's
you
BS.
Got it? You got
no,
the
I
Total
never,
Gym?
I never got it, but I know it's just BS. It's another one of those BS things.
Number two is P90X.
If you want to look extraordinary, you're going to first have to go extreme.
Why do we choose P90X? You cannot deny the results.
You go through 90 days, then you become a super fit guy.
Come to the interview.
You become a super fit guy.
Now, look, I don't know anything about fitness, as you guys know, look at me. But the P90X, when I see those commercials, I think even if you didn't take their dumb product, but you did all the working out that you're supposed to be doing, you would be in shape, right?
Well, that's the thing. They organize it for you. They put it into an easily digestible program so that you can keep up with it. Because most people will fall off an exercise program if left to their own accord. But this actually makes you go day by day, and it takes you through it. And everyone I've ever heard who tried it had great success with it.
Yeah. But you just had no interest in that?
Well, I'm lazy.
Okay.
Let's go to Joe real quick. He's on line eight. I think he's another one disappointed with his infomercial product. Hi, Joe. Welcome to the Kevin Bean Show. What'd you buy?
Hey, guys. How you doing? About 13 years ago, my wife, she bought me a GUV, a garage utility vacuum, and that thing has stand the width, the length of time. It's been amazing.
You've been using that for 12 years?
It's 13 since 2000. I mean, it's made by Hoover. I guess it's a good brand, but I have used that thing probably every other weekend. I mean, the thing heats up to like fire red now, but
sounds like a great product. Sounds good. It's going to burn down my house one day, but until it does, I'll be clean.
Do you live in Camarillo by any chance?
No, I'm in Bellflower. Oh. But it had the most ridiculous commercial of cars running over the hose, and it still... It was a ridiculous commercial, but I had to have it.
What about that ladder thing? What about that ladder?
Little giant, it's awesome.
You put on stairs and stuff.
I own the little giant. You can put it anywhere and use it in like 14 different
positions.
When
was the last time you used a little giant?
Just the other day.
Liar.
Just the other day to clean my upper windows. It extends into a full extension ladder. You can also make it a scaffolding ladder.
And the number one product of all time, any guesses? Infomercial? It goes back a while.
I can't even imagine.
Think age versus youth. In this one.
Age versus youth.
Yes, it's more
this
of a...
This isn't mom is 57 but looks 28, is it?
No.
Not one of those.
No, this is...
Proactive Solution, named Best Acne Treatment by Allure Magazine. Developed by two dermatologists, Proactive is a three-step acne-fighting system that clears acne and helps prevent future breakouts.
My favorite part of that is that it was created by two dermatologists.
Well, one couldn't do it. They had to put their heads together.
Not three.
Now, is that for people who have, like, serious, hardcore, like, bad, bad, bad acne? That's not just for the occasional pimple,
right? I think it's both.
No, it's for people who have the fun, good acne.
Sarah Abramson.
Pretty dope, man.
Fear mug with the Library of Congress calls later today. Respectfully,
Kevin Bean are really dumb, really bad and not awesome. I'd rather listen to my phone. Yeah, their show's really, really sucky.
Oh, my.
What?
Kevin, who's your girlfriend? Bobcat leaves. Gemma Arms. I can't say your last
name. Give it another guy.
What an idiot.
Kevin Bean are really dumb.
He's in there. What? Who's that? Huh? Is that what we just talked to? Yes, it was.
Yeah, what's up? Here's... Kevin Bean are really dumb, really bad, and not awesome. I'd rather listen to my phone. Yeah, their show's really, really sucky.
George St. Pierre seems like he's been trying to take the top road. You're special on BS... What's the abbreviation you're special that you're doing on tonight?
Kevin Bean are really dumb.
See, it's a good thing. That's good old personal. You know what I'm saying? Leonardo DiCaprio.
This new Daft Punk.
Kevin and B mix of Daft Punk's Get Lucky. No one needed to hear that. Ain't nobody got time for that. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show here on a Friday. Our friend Kevin Smith joins us in studio next hour. First, though, it's been a while since we caught up with Shane West, of course, from Nikita. I think the last time we had you on, Shane, you were still out there with the germs. How you been, man?
Hey, guys, I'm very good. Yes, that's true. That was the last time. It's been a few years now. Yeah,
it has definitely been a while. I'm glad we got a chance to catch up with you. You do not, it seems like, have much time for the music anymore. It seems like you're pretty busy with all the other things you do as a Renaissance man.
Well, it kind of happened at the same time. I booked Nikita. She's in Toronto 9 months out of the year, where we just finished our third season. And Pat Smear as well with the Germs. He rejoined the Foo Fighters pretty much full-time as well, at exacting time. So Dave Grohl never stops.
Yeah.
With that going on and me being in Canada for 9 months out of the year, it's been...
makes it kind of tough. Now, yeah. I understand that you had to make an adjustment in your fandom, and now you are a Maple Leafs fan. Is that true?
I don't know how that's going to work for these playoffs, but I've always been a Kings fan, and I'm just like a... I had to jump on the bandwagon to help those poor fans.
Shame.
I mean, Smile has been terrible forever.
Shame.
Terrible forever.
Shame.
Come on.
You can't, but you can't. Okay.
We're still 0-2. Yeah,
that's true. Let's talk about Nikita. This has been a kind of a tough story arc, from you're fighting the arch enemy, the secret government, and then now all of a sudden you're running it, and the government might come in and kill you. It's been a real weird story arc to kind of follow and make work.
It's been a harder season. Season three has been crazy. By the time it's done, everybody will notice what we were trying to do, and it completes itself very well. But currently, right now, it's definitely confusing, and yeah, it's odd. You know, we have all the characters on the show have been given the shot to try and prove themselves, to run this kind of secret organization to kind of help things out throughout the world, and we're not doing a very good job of it. So, and you know, the S is hitting the fan, and we've got all these things that are about to fall apart with only three episodes left. So we're way in over our heads, and we have a great actor, Isaiah Mustafa, who's coming back onto the show this episode, and this is kind of the precursor for the final two. And the final two are pretty much a part one, part two kind of thing.
Love it.
So we, you know, got three episodes to figure it out, and so much is happening in these three episodes that it's almost impossible to explain.
Also starring Maggie Q and Lindsay Fonseca. It's on Friday nights at 8 o'clock on the CW. I've seen, I think, every episode that exists, and I love that show.
Awesome. Thank you.
Tell us about your Big Bad Wolf.
This is, a semi-dream come true, kind of alongside with, you know, singing with something like the Germs, but you know, I think a lot of people growing up that read comic books would always love to be a part of one as well. I teamed up with my friend William, who they've all done a lot of comic books, especially this kind of movement that's going towards online comic books. If you're like reading, you know, a Kindle or an iPad or things like that, actually reading it on that.
Right.
And we started this idea called Big Bad Wolf, which, I know there's a lot of vampire things out there and a lot of werewolf things out there, maybe to ad nauseum at this point, but in media. But with this, it's a little bit smarter, it's a little bit edgier, and it's not as in your face. So it's just a fun thing. It's of a character who's in 5 years has been bitten, but in 5 years, if he doesn't find the cure, he will finally turn into a werewolf. So he's not actually one yet. He just has tiny attributes of, like, possibly heightened sight and near hearing and things like that. And it's him and his sister basically becoming Dog the Bounty Hunter, in a sense, being bounty hunters, helping out things like the CIA and the FBI and things like that, solve crimes and stuff, while he's also trying to figure out what to do with his life.
So they're using their powers to help the government, but they're also getting those powers because they're becoming vampires and werewolves.
Exactly, and they're not nice people.
Ah.
So there's always conflict, and that's what I wanted in the comic. I wanted things that could go all over the place if you wanted to throw in zombies and supernatural and things like that, but I wanted to be a little bit more set in a reality base and not necessarily likable. I wanted it to be a little bit more realistic. If those things were real, I wanted it to be a little bit more realistic that way.
Now, I know that you partnered with USA Today, and they have been presenting parts of the story every week in the newspaper. But is the only way to see the whole book is to go to the arch-enemy.net? Is that where you get it?
Yes, exactly. Brian's been helping us. He's been great for USA Today. And, yeah, it's issues like every 2 weeks we just kind of pop them out. And I kind of like that it's been black and white a lot, too. For me, that's kind of fun. But yes, that's the way to see it. And we're currently in talks to potentially move this to a possible series or film.
All right, take it easy, wow. Shane. For God's sakes, you're on Nikita. You're singing with bands. Now you're drawing a comic.
Just answer a phone. It's all right.
Slow down. You're making us look bad.
Well, if you just Google Shane West and Big Bad Wolf, if you can't remember the website, arch-enemy.net, you can bring that up. So you got 3 months off now that you just finished the season finale of Nikita. You got 3 months off. You going to go to like med school or something? How are you going to spend your time, Shane?
That's exactly what I should do for my break, is med school. I think I'm just going to hang out, see friends, see family. We're still sticking around to see if we even have a season 4. We'll find out in a week and a half or so, you know, with the whole crazy New York upfronts and all that stuff. So,
well, I hope so. I've enjoyed it. And like I said, I've been watching it from the beginning, and I hope they renew it.
Thank you. We do, too. It's been a hell of a run so far.
All right. Great to catch up with you, Shane. Thanks for the time, man. We'll talk to you soon, all right?
Thanks so much, guys. Thank you.
Bye. Kevin Smith joins us in studio next hour here on The Kevin Bean Show. His partner, Ralph Garman, is here now with the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
Yeah, of course, we're doing Hollywood Babylon back down in Long Beach, California this weekend, tomorrow night, 10 p.m. at the Laugh Factory. You can go to laughfactory.com to come join us. We have a pretty good geek audience. I don't know if you know this or not, but the geeks and the nerds seem to like us a little bit.
Is that right?
Yeah. Huh. So I'd like to give a little something back to my people. Okay. Come to me, my children, for I have gifts to bestow upon you. How about this Cape Town Film Festival that Entertainment Weekly has been doing? Amazing lineup of films and Q&As following those screenings at the Egyptian Theater in Hollywood. It's been going on since April 30th. Goes all the way through May the 6th. You can pick up your tickets for the upcoming screenings at Fandango.com. Or you can be one of my lucky winners right here, right now. This is for the May 5th screening of Star Trek, directed by J.J. Abrams.
The reboot movie, the first one, right?
J.J. Abrams, that's right. The most recent Star Trek.
I was just pointing out it's not the new one. It's not the Into Darkness. It's the first one, right?
Yes, right. Yeah, okay. This is the original one that kicked off the reboot. Into Darkness, of course, is right around the corner. But if you'd like to see the original, and why wouldn't you? It's just an awesome, awesome film. Here's your trivia question. First two people who get through with the correct answer at 1-800-520-1067 will get a pair of tickets to attend the screening of J.J. Abrams' Star Trek. Used both in the reboot and the original series of films, all I need to know is what's the name of the simulated program designed to test the character of cadets on the command track at Starfleet Academy? When you're going to be a captain, when you're on the fast track to being a captain, they give you this simulator test to see how you do in a no-win situation.
Yeah, it's not beatable, right?
It's not beatable. It's a no-win situation. Only one man has ever beat it, Kevin. James Tiberius Kirk.
But didn't he cheat?
He did. He went in and reprogrammed the simulator. He didn't believe in the no-win situation, Kevin. Didn't believe in it. That's why he's the greatest captain Starfleet has ever seen.
All right, take it easy.
What's the name of it? 1-800-520-1067 is the number to call.
Call right now and we'll get right back to you.
No. We'll take the calls as they come in, Kevin. Stop saying that.
Do you have anything you want to talk about? Or
I'd like to talk about Linda Lohan.
Yeah, what's up?
I mentioned that she dropped out of rehab.
Yes.
Remember I told you she scoffed at the New York rehab she was going to go into because they don't smoke there. So then she went down to Morningside in Newport Beach. Because you can smoke there, but you can't use your cell phone there. So she didn't like that one. So she turned around and walked out of that one.
But first she had a trial to make sure that the one in Newport was okay. And the judge said, we'll see you in a week.
Yes.
And then she just left.
And she just split. Well, we can all breathe a little easier because she is in rehab as we speak.
Right.
She checked herself into the Betty Ford Clinic in Rancho Mirage, California.
Which is the one that she escaped from before?
That's the one where she went over the wall. Remember? And she came back in climbing the wall and got into the fight with the nurse there.
That's right.
And had a scrap with her and injured her and was sued and
right.
was, yeah. Mm. So that should be a good deal, right?
How is she not in jail?
Great question, Kevin.
I think with all the overcrowding in prisons, the justice system here in Southern California just recognizes that she'll be dead soon, so why bother? That's the only thing I can imagine. Like, put her in jail, but really, just give it a couple weeks and she's not going to be our problem anymore. That's what they're saying.
Can't they put her like in a Big Brother house, maybe in an hourglass in Times Square, and make her live with Amanda Bynes? Can't yes. we just and put that on TV? Can we do that instead?
Let's build a giant habit trail.
Do something for, our entertainment.
Two of them and get a big wheel in there and just let them live like hamsters and we can just watch.
Oh, that'd be the best. They have to drink out of a bottle of water hanging on the wall.
It's all filled with vodka.
They gotta sleep in cedar shavings.
Yeah. Little pot cakes come in, like pellets, and they're chewing on them, sharpening their teeth.
Be the best show ever.
Would. And really, they would finally be doing a public service versus damage.
That's right. They'd be entertaining us.
While we're talking about rehabs, Dr. Drew said via a radio interview this week that Celebrity Rehab is no more. No plans to go forward with another season of Celebrity Rehab. Why? He said in a recent interview with Zach and the Gang.
Zach and the Gang?
Zach Sang and the Gang. He's been cheating on us with Zach Sang and the Gang. Yeah.
How dare you?
How dare you?
Somebody in radio that I've never heard of? That's unacceptable.
He's not going forward with another season. Why? Because he's tired of taking all the heat for all the deaths of the former cast members in Celebrity Rehab.
Well, that's not his fault. They'd have just been dead sooner if it weren't for him.
He should have thought that before he killed those people.
He
that's
didn't
what I say.
Kill anyone. Killed he takes five, them when they're on death's door.
Five former cast members have now passed away.
Right.
Dr. Drew responsible for each and every one of those
not,
deaths. So
though not.
He doesn't now. He doesn't want to be, oh, don't call me. Let me just murder people.
Nope.
Let me be Dr. Conrad Murray. I'll just take people out. Don't worry about me. Conrad Murray's doing time. Dr. Drew's walking around a free man. Where's the outrage there? We have an answer for my trivia question?
We do.
I believe John was the first caller through. John, what's the name?
Kobayashi Maru.
Kobayashi Maru, absolutely correct, sir. The Kobayashi Maru, the no-win scenario. That's how you test the upcoming cadets at Starfleet. Hold on, we're going to give you all the details, but you're going to go see a special screening of J.J. Abrams' original Star Trek film to prepare you for Star Trek Into Darkness.
Why do they call it that, Ralph? Why is that the name? Why does it have
Star
a Japanese
Trek Into
name?
Darkness? The Kobayashi Maru? The Kobayashi Maru is the civilian vessel that is located in the neutral zone. And that's the part of the exam is you have to decide whether you're going to cross into the neutral zone and face a Klingon warbird of prey and to rescue the people who are in that ship, or you're going to stay and stay within Starfleet zone and allow them to be destroyed and killed. So either you're going to start a conflict with the Klingons by going in to rescue them, or you're going to allow them just to perish. And the name of the vessel that is stranded there in space is the Kobayashi Maru.
That's a tough decision to make right there.
It is. It's a no-win situation is what it is.
I don't even know what that is.
Unless you're Kirk, of course.
You can reprogram it.
You reprogram, you cheat. Today's celebrity birthday, Cheryl Burke from Dancing with the Stars is 29. Christina Hendricks from Mad Men. Brilliant Mad Men season so far this year. I know some people are balking and bitching, and I say, shut up, because it's been awesome. Dule Hill from Psych is also 38 today. Bobby Cannavale, very talented actor from Boardwalk Empire, and Nurse Jackie, 43 years old. Greg Gumbel is 67. He of the sports announcing Gumbel family. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
6.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and you are listening to the Kevin and Kevin and Bean Show at 10 minutes after 9.
Hey, what am I? What am I?
And
cold,
Ralph?
Congealed liver over here?
Kevin and Bean and Ralph.
Thank
show.
You. All
hey, right. Kevin that, Smith.
Hey,
that,
man.
Seven, second Kevin is our friend Kevin Smith, who joins us in studio, of course, appearing with Ralph Garman at the Hollywood Babylon at the Laugh Factory in Long Beach tomorrow night at 10, and then in a minute we'll talk about the big event you've got coming up on Sunday as well. How are you, Mr. Smith? What's going on?
I'm so good. We were just talking about Iron Man 3, which I'm going to go see right after this, right after I leave here.
You can't have it spoiled, right? You got to go as soon as possible.
And there's been a bit of spoilage online already
on
Twitter.
Yeah,
it's tough, and so I want to get there before people just start blatantly saying what it is. You could piece it together. There's a twist, an M. Night Shyamalan-like twist that happens somewhere in the middle.
It was all a dream. Tony Stark wakes up
really?
In the shower.
He's in the cave, and his heart goes, and it's all over.
can I share a morning wake-and-bake story with you that
sure.
went horribly awry?
You didn't kill another owl, did you?
No, this is so tame. I wish I'd had an adventure, but instead, this was like so depressing. So it's Schadenfreude is what it is. Somewhere somebody's laughing at me. Wake up online. I'm cruising. I'm actually going to find tickets on Yahoo for Iron Man 3. So that's the only way I've ever known how to do it online. I know there's a bunch like Fandango.
Right.
I go there. While I'm there, I'm clicking on, ooh, there's a trailer for this. Ooh, there's a clip for this. I'm watching a bunch of things. Leads me down this rabbit hole to a click through for a website. I think it's called Style Tracker or something. One of these random, like, 10 things that you don't know, and you click on it. That they're all over the web now. They don't tell you in the front. 10 things you need to know or else you're going to die in 2 seconds. And you're like, I must click. This was 15 career killers, like movies that Hollywood bombs that killed careers.
Oh, no.
Uh-oh.
So I'm sitting there going, like, this is interesting. I click on
that's just
it.
Entertainment for us. There's no danger for us if we click on that link. It's bad news potentially for you.
Hadn't even thought about it. crossed my mind. So there's a big picture of Batman and Robin. That's why I clicked on it. It was George Clooney and Chris O'Donnell. And I'm sitting there going, well, I mean, neither of their careers were killed. Is this how accurate could this article be? Isn't Chris O'Donnell on, like, TV now?
He's got NCIS LA.
Huge hit with LL Cool J and George Clooney. I think fared well.
He's okay for himself. He's all right.
And even the director went on. Joel Schumacher did. So, so I see the picture. I'm like, I'm going to click through. And it's like some of the usual suspects, like Waterworld. But, you know, like Kevin Costner kept working. And every piece that was swept away, like, which I thought was a weird inclusion. Showgirls, they maintain that Joe Esterhaus's career was killed, as was What's-Her-Face. And I'm going through the list. And I want, you know, you have to keep clicking.
Yeah.
Because it's a gallery, right?
And I'm like, why am I even doing this? I should be tweeting. I should be creating something.
Because it's impossible to leave a list in the middle. That's why. Because you're invested in this. What you have to see what's number one.
This is what I come across. I saved it because I was like, oh, my God. So I'm clicking through, man. And one of the pages, like, comes up. I see big, bald-headed Bruce Willis. And it says, cop out. This is it. Hollywood career killers, :15 movies that helped do away with major Tinseltown players. That's why I didn't think I would be involved. I'm like, you're not Hollywood, a major right. Tinseltown. None of these things go along. Here's Cop Out. Here's what they say. Cop Out is the film that effectively turned Kevin Smith away from Hollywood and Hollywood away from Kevin Smith. What started out as a by-the-numbers buddy cop film was overshadowed by reports of conflict between Willis and Kevin Smith, not to mention lofty expectations from Smith fans that went unmet. This smells like it was written by a Smith fan, because I don't know anybody that goes, like, I have very lofty expectations when it comes to one of these Kevin Smith joints. here we go.
Or somebody who saw Dogma said, no, Cop Out's going to be where we really find out what Kevin Smith thinks and feels.
And what was that coming off of? Zach and Mary Make a Porno. Like, he's a deep thinker.
Which was a big hit.
The bar is high. I mean, this is the thing. I'll debunk this article in a second. The film would not have been so panned so harshly had it not been for a collaboration that saw bored Willis sleepwalk through Smith's stilted direction. The director later lashed out further at Willis's camp, who in turn accused him of abusing drugs while filming, an accusation Smith flat out denied. First off, I never denied that. I smoke weed all the time. If that's what counts as abusing drugs, then yeah, I guess but I don't count that. I was smoking just like other people were drinking on set in their trailers.
No names.
Yeah,
but
no
just
names. But there were those of us who at lunchtime, instead of eating,
sure,
smoked their lunch. Right. Nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong, especially not if you can do your job and I was there.
You never denied that.
Never in a million years. This didn't stop critics. This is written by a critic, obviously. And fans from roasting them both. A year after Cop Out's release, Smith made the indie Red State, auctioned it off himself in front of a crowd at Sundance, and cut his ties with Hollywood for good. And based on insider reactions, the feeling was decidedly mutual. Who wrote this? Like,
wow.
Don't you consider, like, it makes it seem like, and at that moment, him and Hollywood broke up, as if Hollywood was a place. I have a TV show on. That's as Hollywood as it gets. Like, it just, it boggles my
Hollywood
mind.
Hollywood didn't want you anymore. You broke up.
And
but
meanwhile,
however, there were rumored conflicts between you and Bruce Willis.
Yeah.
The ones that you talked about and said out loud.
Exactly.
And confirmed.
I mean, I'm not saying, like, this ain't journalism. It's a click-through blog and stuff. So, you can't be surprised, but you're just like, dude, I talk so frequently and so candidly, you could actually put the real story up, and it's even more effed up than the made-up version. But they still choose for, like, him and Hollywood broke up. It's like Ralph's bit. He's like, we got to talk to the vice president of Hollywood. As if it's one entity, one giant amorphous starro type thing.
Yeah.
Are your feelings really hurt, or are your feelings really hurt, or are you just amused by it?
It killed me. It not killed me in a bad way. It made me chuckle. I was just like, oh, because I'm reading all these going like, well, they shouldn't have made that movie. Look at this guy. I bet he never saw this coming. One of them, I felt so bad. They did, what was it, the Cruise movie that Cuba Gooding did with Horatio Sands, Boat Trip.
Oh,
well.
Oh, right, sure.
And, you know, you're sitting there going, wow, I bet you Cuba Gooding didn't even see this coming. And then you click the next thing. It's like Cop Out. I was like, I didn't see this coming. I am Cuba Gooding.
Kevin Smith is here. We have to take a quick break. You can buy tickets to see Kevin and Ralph together at the Hollywood Babylon at the Laugh Factory in Long Beach. They
ties with Hollywood this Saturday night.
Good Lord. Only me. I figured it out. It's me and 80s Hollywood, dude. It's Prince, Bruce Willis, and now John Lovitz.
You can't work with 80s Hollywood.
There's a sense of entitlement difference between their generation and mine where I'm just like, I don't get you. You should be more appreciative.
You can buy the tickets at CSMOD, SEESMOD, SMOD.com for tomorrow night's show. More with our guest Kevin Smith after this on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock.
I really don't like any of them.
The Kevin and Bean Show.
How can you say that, bro? So maybe they're not politically correct, but it's funny.
K-Rock.
Sometimes. Let's not put that kind of pressure on ourselves.
Yeah, man, that's a high bar right there.
Right? Kevin Smith. Because we haven't seen each other in a while because you've been on the road with your animated groovy movie.
I did. I've been out there with Mr. Muse. Mr. Muse made a $69,000 cartoon movie simply so that he can be like 69 Nooch. That was it. That's the nearest I can figure. I was impressed that they were able to pull it off. Him and Steve Stark, who does Smodimations for us, he takes our podcast, turns them into little cartoons and whatnot.
Those are great.
It's up on Netflix or something. They made a feature together, and it's called Jay and Silent Bob's Super Groovy Cartoon Movie. We've been taking it out on the road, like kind of the same way we go out with Jay and Silent Bob Get Old, and kind of the same way I went out with Red State. We kind of mix the two up. Show a movie, and then afterwards, we podcast. We do the Jay and Silent Bob Get Old show. So I just got back from there. We're doing it here in Los Angeles on Sunday. It was supposed to be the Wiltern, Cinco de Mayo, but filling the Wiltern on Cinco de Mayo with ticket prices that are way beyond the norm of what our fans usually pay.
Right.
Like, this is what we realize. You go out on the road, man, you easily charge $40 to $70 depending on where the seats are, and people don't care because you're never in their neck of the woods. We do a show every weekend here in Los Angeles. Me and Ralph do Babylon.
Right.
It's a $20 ticket.
Right.
Me and Muse do Jay and Silent Bob Get Old fairly regularly in town. It's $20 ticket. Suddenly, the groovy show at the Wiltern was like $60, $70, and you know you got a bunch of fans going what? So we were about a third full, and I said, forget it, man. Like it'll never go higher than this. We could put all our efforts into like selling it out, but it's not going to happen because why would you go above the price point? You
know right, what
I'm
right.
I said, so let's pull it out. And Wiltern was totally cool that we've done a lot of shows there. So they're like, great. And they always knew that Cinco de Mayo, they even said, they're like, it's going to be tough, dude. You got a drinking crowd? And I was like, I got a stoning crowd. They're like, they don't tend to leave.
That's not the same house. Thing.
Yeah, it's not the same thing. So we wound up going to Quentin's Theater, the New Beverly Cinema. And Sunday, the 7 p.m. show is already sold out. I think there's some tickets left for the 10 p.m. show. But you can go and see the cartoon movie, and then we do the Q&A afterwards. So
it's only $20.
$20, yeah. That we were able to bring it down to. That's why. Moving into a smaller venue, moving into the new bed. But then you catch a whole new list of complaints from people who are like, I saw John Landis do a Q&A there for $7. You can't win, dude. There's no winning and stuff.
You said, oh, I broke up with Hollywood, so I have to charge more.
That's right, Karen.
Everyone knows that it's in the air. So did you guys have Braff on recently for the Kickstarter?
We did.
Yeah,
yes.
Twice. He announced it here on our show, actually, when he first broke it.
He broke it
and
here.
Then we had him back on when he made his goal.
Yeah. It was, I think it's cool, but he's taking some plaque online,
he is,
too.
Yeah.
Yeah, as well. That was one of those things that we almost did with Clerks. We almost did the Kickstarter. Well, we almost did a website called Red State Green for Red State back in 2009. Like, the third episode of Smodcast, me and Scott were sitting around going, wouldn't it be great if everybody on my Twitter follower path, like, donated $1. We could make a movie. That'd be right. Like $1 million.
Right.
And then a year later, man, Kickstarter and Indiegogo happened. I'm not saying we invented it in an Al Gore way, but like we had that idea for like crowdsourced finance, and it stayed in my head because the Twitter feedback was always like, oh my God, we would totally do that. Like, we want to see this Red State movie. So me and John Gordon, the producer of Red State, paid to have this website build called Red State Green, which was essentially Kickstarter and Indiegogo before they launched.
Like
it was
a privatized
version of it or something like that. And we were about to launch, and I'd done an interview. I hadn't talked about it at all anywhere. I was up in Canada. I did an interview where I was like, somebody said, what are you doing next? I said, well, there's this movie Red State. We're actually going to let the audience finance it. We've been building this website and stuff. spoke about it. A few journalists were in the room. A few of them wrote about it. Somebody read one of those pieces and wrote this blog on a horror movie website because I was saying Red State's a horror movie. Mm. And they were like, Kevin Smith is begging for money for his next movie. And I still have the last vestiges of high school fear in me. Like the thing that holds you back, the voice where you talk yourself out of something or say, like, that's stupid, that hit right in that place. There's no armor there. I hadn't grown up, hadn't matured enough. And I got scared and I pulled back. I called up John Gordon. I was like, kill it. We can't do this begging for money thing. He's like, what are you talking about? We're going to launch in 2 weeks. And I was like, we can't, man. This dude called me a beggar. Like, I can't do it. And I wanted to be there first, like, in a way where, when in November, we almost did it with Clerks 3. I was talking to the dude from Kickstarter. He's like, oh my God, if you do this, if the Clerks guy does a Kickstarter for Clerks 3, that's like only Nixon could go to China, man. This is, you should do it. And we were all geared up to go in that instance. And then Jeff Anderson, who plays Randall in the movie, was like, hey man, have we sorted out our business with the Weinstein Company about Clerks 2 yet? And we were still in the middle of an audit. And he's like, I don't feel comfortable going forward with Clerks 3 until Clerks 2 is settled. So I was like, pull down the brake, and we didn't wind up doing it. And in the time that I've not done it, I've kind of been able to see other people go. Rob Thomas got to go first, and then Zach got to go recently. And
there's no shame in the game anymore, Kevin. You could do it now and feel comfortable that
No, this is where I disagree. And I'm not like being negative about them. I think it's great that they did it and whatnot. And I would have done it if I'd had enough guts, but I didn't. I chickened out. So I missed my moment. But with enough time, the thing that I have is like if I go out there and say, hey, man, Clerks 3, we'll soak up 5 to 7 million like whales right away because people like Clerks, man. Mm-hmm. And, like, I've got a nice online following, and they've told us via Twitter, like, we're ready, and we mused about doing. We did a whole podcast where we talked about almost crowdsource financing Clerks 3. If I do that, that pulls 5, 7 million bucks out of the marketplace for a bunch of young versions of me who are trying to make their Clerks for the first time. Because if you've got a bunch of money you're going to just give to a stranger to make a movie, you're probably more likely to give it to a famous person or someone whose work you've seen before.
Right.
So if you do that, soak up that cash, man, that's a bunch of cash that could be going to smaller flicks. And I was like, me personally, I don't want to do that.
It sounds like you're on the side of those who were critical of Zach Braff.
Not critical. I'm happy.
That he's too well known and too well connected to be using Kickstarter the way he is.
I'm so happy he did. I even tweeted his link up while he was doing it. I wanted him to hit his goal and stuff. And I'm glad he did it. And he can sleep at night. That's great. For me, that's just not the way that I want to go. And I desperately wanted to at one point because it's so indie. You know what I'm saying? Like, my generation, we all said we were indie filmmakers, but we were not. We were false. We were the promise of indie, and we never truly delivered because we all had corporate masters. Right. At Miramax, we were owned by Disney. So I'd be there. I'm an indie filmmaker with Mickey Mouse on my check. This current generation of independent filmmakers, they are the real deal because they don't wait for a gatekeeper to say, here's your money. Like, we'd make our movies as independent as we could and be ferociously independent until we had to sell it to somebody. And then we were like, please buy it. And boom, you enter the corporate system. At that point, you're no longer independent. This generation of a filmmaker can literally do that. They could be their own bosses. They don't need somebody to say yes or no. They don't need somebody to give them money. They can solicit from their own community. That's enticing to the guy who made Clerks, to the guy who is all about, like, everybody should be able to do this. Like, right. I love Ratatouille. Anyone could cook. That was why I got into film. Like, I have no training, no specialty, but I saw Slacker. I said, I would like to do this sort of thing. So I believe in the democracy of storytelling, particularly in cinema. Now that the machinery to do so, the technology is affordable, you could shoot a movie on your phone. This is the time that I dreamed of, where anybody can make a movie and stuff. And so when I hear about Kickstarter, when I hear about Indiegogo, or when we talked about it before it even existed, the idea of jumping into that pool, it's like tiling back time. Suddenly you're young again because you're doing what the young kids are doing. Totally. But, and there's always a but, I had my moment. You know, back in 94, I got a Cinderella story. Like, I went through the old path, and that's what exists at the time, and I'll never regret it. I was happy I got to do it and stuff. Nothing wrong with it, but I had my moment, and I can't then jump in a world where I have access to money. You know, like, if I can't bum up somebody famous, like Muse or Affleck or Jason Lee or something like that, I also have my own money. Like, I live in a pretty nice house that if I get the chance to finance Clerks 3, I want to do it myself. I want to do it with my own money. Like, go out the way I came in, risking my cash, not asking somebody else's for theirs. Believe me, I want the audience's money, and I'll get it sooner or later, but I don't want it now. Yeah, because I want them to finance other people's stuff. Because, look, this is the third iteration of Clerks, and it'll be awesome, but it'll still be the third iteration of Clerks. There are a bunch of people out there who are aching aching to tell a story that's never been told yet, man. And the only thing that's holding them back is accessing $25,000,
yeah,
$50,000, $75,000. That goes away the moment I put my fat ass in the indie crowdsource financing pool and say, Clark's three, everybody. I'm a Jabba in that world. I don't want to be Jabba. I want to be
Jabba
Luke Skywalker.
In this world, Kevin.
Yeah, you're right. Fair enough. Fair enough.
Jay and Silent Bob, super groovy cartoon movie. 7 o'clock is sold out at the New Beverly Center for this Sunday night. There are still some seats available for the 10 o'clock. This is awesome because you get to see the movie and you get to be part of the Q&A with the guys, too. So it's awesome. Go to csmod.com for groovy movie tickets. Again, just $20. So that's so you got a busy weekend. So you got tomorrow night, the Hollywood Babylon in Long Beach, and then you got the super groovy on Sunday night in L.A. So you're working it this weekend.
It's a big Ralph weekend. Ralph, you going to go to the shows at the New Bev?
I haven't seen it yet, so I'll come by the New Bev. I want to see the movie.
Ralph's in it.
$20. We need $20 from you, Ralph.
Even though I've been on the road, I've heard Ralph's voice every night, and I hear people react to Ralph as if he's there. So it's weird. Like, we didn't get to do Babylon for the last 2 weeks.
Yeah, it's been a while.
But I've heard him and heard people laughing about him and told a Ralph story or two that, like, engaged the audience in a really kind of, we love Ralph way. So it's like there was no absence. But it's going to be nice to sit down this weekend twice, first at the New Bev and then over at the Long Beach Laugh Factory.
You didn't tell any stories about my big balls, did you?
I did.
Oh.
I was afraid of that. Just one. Low-hanging fruit, I call it.
We'll take a break, and Kevin and Ralph will take a look at the showbiz beat right after this on K-Rock. I know this is going to be difficult for you guys, but no swearing, okay? Oh. It's like the Babylon, except it's the radio version, all right?
Jeez, all right. I'll try.
Kevin, here's off.
All right.
Here's right. Kevin Smith and Ralph Garman on the Kevin and Bean Show.
The Biebs. Pop scrotum Justin Bieber in the news. He was doing a show in Istanbul.
Not Istanbul, not Constantinople.
We're all racing for that one, weren't
oh,
we?
Oh, man, I couldn't wait.
The much-anticipated show last night, he performed in Istanbul, and he left the stage, walked off the stage.
Why?
Because Istanbul's not Constantinople. He's mad.
Because his fans were throwing toys at him as a show of appreciation. Apparently, that's an Istanbul tradition. If you love someone, you throw toys at him.
That's okay. Why no Istanbul children have Star Wars figures.
That's right. You got to give them all up every show they go to.
Finally, we pieced it together.
So he was being pelted
with toys. Is that right? What
toys.
A weird tradition. Like, here are my toys. I honor you with my toys.
Fans were throwing him toys and scarves as a show of appreciation. He decided he wanted nothing to do with it and walked off stage. They had to make an announcement in Turkish to inform fans that the show would not go on until he stopped being pelted with toys.
Stop loving him. Stop loving him and he will return.
So they promised they would throw no more gifts to him, and he came back and came out on the stage and finished his show.
Why? Why would that send him off?
Because he's a little guy.
He's flimsy.
He could be taken out by a Hot Wheel.
Yeah, right? He'd get pelted with a G.I. Joe. I lost my eye. I thought maybe it was because he was like, they're calling me a little kid by throwing toys at me. And scarves. They're calling me a little kid and a woman.
They're calling me Doctor Who from the 70s.
I doubt he had that thought.
I do, too. Lindsay Lohan! In the news, she was in rehab, then she was out of rehab, then she was in rehab, then she was out of rehab, and now she's back in rehab.
A different rehab, though.
Which one is she allowed to smoke? That's the most important thing, Ralph.
This is the one she's allowed to smoke. Ooh, Kevin. Yes,
ooh, that's I was feeling for her in a big, bad way.
Yeah, she was supposed to go to one in New York, of course, and then she famously didn't show there. Instead, checked herself into one in Newport Beach, found out there that she couldn't use her cell phone. So the first one, she couldn't smoke. She left. She couldn't use her cell phone. The second one, she left. It's like Goldilocks and the Three Bears. The third one was just right.
Totally. That's where she got parent trapped.
The Betty Ford Clinic in Rancho Mirage. She's been there before. She knows everybody there. She's well acquainted with the staff. She beat one of the staff up, in fact. That was good.
Wait, you know they're going to let her, the fence is?
They're going to let her use a phone at Betty Ford?
I don't know what the rules are.
Yeah, I don't think they do over there. I've known some cats who've been through rehab or two, Ralph.
Maybe she's foregoing the phone. I think the problem with the last one was that even your guests can't come in with cell phones at the one at Morningside.
Why would you even need it? If you're going to visit Lindsay Lohan.
Well, I'm sure Lindsay wants her visitors to bring a phone in so she could probably use it. I'm sure that's...
Oh, she's sneaking phone calls?
Yeah.
If I was here, it'd be the opposite. I'd be like, leave your phone and focus on me.
You're acting as if she's a person who really wants her to help.
Right.
It's true. My bad.
So now they're trying to see if the courts now will accept this rehab stint as the obligation she had to complete her probation. She had to stay in a lockdown rehab facility for 90 days. They're trying to see. She rehired her old lawyer. Remember the lawyer she fired?
Right.
Sean
right.
Holly?
Yeah, right.
Hired
right.
her back.
Okay.
And now she is currently negotiating with the courts to see if they will accept this as a completion of her probation.
I had read something where her lawyer was exasperated, quit again, and now she's being represented by Herbie.
Good.
A car will stand up for her in court.
Just pees oil on the judge. And sad news for metal fan Slayer guitarist Jeff Hanneman is dead.
Oh, what happened?
Yeah.
He died of liver cancer, right? Or liver failure?
Liver failure. Right. Suffered liver failure at the age of 49.
Wow. Founding member of Slayer, I believe.
That's right. He wasn't able to tour with Slayer the most recently tour, but not because of his liver disease, but because he had necrotizing fasciitis.
Ooh, the skin eating disease.
What's that?
Yeah, skin eating disease.
Oh. Skin eating disease.
Ooh. Which is a misnomer because they don't actually eat your skin. They liquefy it.
Yes. Yeah. It just kind of just comes off.
And then they have to do these surgeries where they just pull off hunks of your flesh, necrotized flesh.
And then they graft
other pieces
healthy
of flesh onto you.
Flesh, ideally, yeah, onto your
skin. They don't know if his death had anything to do with that yet, though.
No. He got it, most likely, say, from a spider bite. That's how he got the necrotizing fasciitis.
Immediately, I freaked when I read that because I just read on Facebook there's a story going around about a lady who got bit. Three ladies who got bit at an Olive Garden, in the same Olive Garden, from a toilet from this little spider that takes you out in 3 days. So then I read that, and then I read this, and I was like, I'm just strapping Raid to my body, pressing all the buttons at once. Just a zone,
cloud.
Yes.
Walking cloud of Raid.
You're like Pigpen in the Peanuts cartoon.
I'm going to breathe deep so that I become immune to it, but there ain't no spider going to get near me. Yeah, they said a spider is how it began.
We used to hear a lot of stories about that flesh-eating virus, and I haven't much lately until this most recent spider story that you mentioned, but that's a bad deal, man. That can kill you fast.
He let's talk about his life. Remember when Slayer went to Def Jam? It was a huge move.
That's right.
Yeah. Def Jam brought Slayer in, and they did their next album there and stuff. They were already successful with their first and second album, but then they went to Def Jam and put out, like, that was a metal band, a speed metal band, would say black metal band, doing an album at a rap label. It was historic and whatnot. Remember they did the cover of Bring the Noise. They're not a cover, but they did the Bring the Noise team. No, that was Anthrax.
That was Anthrax, too.
But they did the Inagata DeVita cover for Less Than Zero.
That's right.
Which none of them liked. Whenever they talk about it, they don't like it. They hated it. Yeah.
Would you guys have guessed that Kevin Smith would be our go-to for Slayer information?
Oh, I grew up in
the
80s.
I'm surprised by this. I would not.
I was one of those kids. You know those jackets, the denim jackets, they paint an album cover on the back of
it?
Sure. Uh-huh. I was one of those kids that really wanted one and never got it. So I studied metal.
You dodged a bullet.
Oh, yeah.
You would have been that guy. They said, remember that douchebag who walked around with a denim jacket with that album cover painted on the back of it?
Kevin Guarducci was that guy, and I still think of him very highly.
You think he's cool?
I still wish I was Kevin Guarducci in freshman year. throw up the horns for him, though, man. He's so metal. He's metal royalty, for heaven's sake.
Do I have to actually throw up the horns?
He'll be missed. All right. He will be missed. Big bucket of wins. Big cauldron of wins.
Here's some geek news for you. Looks like we may know who's playing one of the rebooted Fantastic Four in the upcoming film.
Oh, is this the kid from Chronicle? Michael Jordan?
Yeah, well, Michael Jordan.
He's going to be
Human Torch, right? Yeah. And it looks like they're talking to Allison Williams, daughter of TV newscaster Brian Williams, and of course star of the HBO show Girls, to play Sue Storm.
So would they be brother and sister still?
I don't know. I don't know how they would work.
Possible.
That.
They're mixed race families all over.
I suppose.
Just not in comics. But
she's
soon.
Very white. Yeah. Allison Williams is very white. And the best of my knowledge, Michael B. Jordan is not very white.
I say get away with it. I'm not one of those people that's just like, he's Johnny Storm's got to be a white. He's mostly on fire all the time, so it doesn't matter.
Maybe
what
you just say he got charred.
Whoa.
I'm just saying. There's ways you can work around it.
And that's so far, that's the. Why are they doing this? I guess they're doing it again so they hold on to the
license.
They
hold on to the rights, yeah. Right. Fox needs summer dollars, so they're holding on to their ownership of the Fantastic Four, and if they reboot it and get it out there, then they own it again. I mean, Daredevil, that went away.
Daredevil just went back to Marvel. Yeah. Marvel has it now,
so. To wait and see.
Did you hear that geek talk? We just lost Kevin and Bean. Bean walked out of his little booth. Kevin fell asleep just going, like, keep talking about
this. I'll have you know, we had Jim Lee on today.
Get out of here.
Yeah, to talk.
I'm going to talk to him next week for Fat Man on Batman.
To talk about Free Comic Book Day, which is tomorrow.
Which is tomorrow, everybody. Free Comic Book Day. Go into a comic book store and demand your free comics. They'll give them to you.
And Bean was very, very talkative and excited, and he was happy to talk with me.
Jim Lee is a legend. He's also a
I'm impressed by him. I did some research on him, and I was. He just seems like, he's about the best in the business, it seems like.
Oh, he's a really good artist guy, but also insanely talented. Yeah. And you know, the artist on one of the best-selling comic books of all time.
Just that? Only that?
Yeah.
And he's
that,
a really good dude.
Good dude, yeah.
So get your free comic books tomorrow.
you didn't lose me with that story, Ralph, but I was just thinking how weird it is. I mean, it was weird when Spider-Man got rebooted after 5 years. I mean, these movies, they just come around, and it's so quickly that they get remade.
I think it's smart. Like, especially in a world where Disney has announced that we're going to do a Star Wars movie a year. Why not? Like, what are they waiting for? I mean, now you have the technology, and it's less expensive to do all these movies at a clip rather than, like, we're going to do one, wait 2 years, and do it again.
That's true. Right.
So it's like, keep doing it, because there's always going to be a new fan born every day. Think about how long they've been publishing Spider-Man as a comic book. Why on earth is it like, well, we got to give a respectful distance away from Sam Raimi's trilogy? No, just go right back to work, man. I hope they do it with Batman. I wish they'd give us a Batman movie every year instead of, like, every 5 years one trilogy comes along or whatever it is. Make as many as possible, because they have all these licenses. They have all these people, directors, filmmakers, storytellers, who would love to work on these characters they grew up with.
Don't you think that waters it down some of those?
Not at all, because think of how many passionate filmmakers or would-be filmmakers are out there who grew up with these stories. Like, here's the story I would tell. It's no different than storytelling in the comics market. Think about how many authors have written these stories over the course of 60 years, I being one of them at one point and stuff. You want to get in, get your hands in there, play with the characters. In a world where the technology is there and they're making these movies anyway, and that's what they do at the studios, start making as many of these as possible. Give Edgar Wright the Ant-Man movie. Looks like it's happening. Keep moving forward. Make a Question movie. Make a Daredevil movie. Just make everyone. Luke Cage, Power Fist and Iron Man, stuff like that. Iron Fist.
Power Man. Sorry.
Power Fist was a different movie. I was filibustering about comics, and I just ran out of breath. I'm like, and another thing, Iron Man and Power Fist.
They did make a movie called Power Fist, and it has nothing to do with comic books.
No, that's...
Truly.
No.
But make as many as they can.
Some would say the quality suffers if they make a whole bunch of them.
That's what I'm saying.
Like comic books, you have some great arcs. You say, well, that's a classic.
Absolutely.
And then a decade will go by before another one comes along.
Totally.
But
they say that
with movies,
too.
The quality sometimes suffers when you wait 2 or 3 years to make a film, and it also falls flat. So there's no guarantee.
What was his name? The kid, Reitman kid.
Jason.
Wonderful kid. He was telling me, he was on one of the podcasts once, and he said his dad, Ivan Reitman, famous director, did Ghostbusters. He said the best piece of advice he ever passed down to him was, like, make as many movies as you can. He's going, I got precious with it. After Ghostbusters, I started getting selected, being, I can't do that. I did Ghostbusters. He's like, I made fewer movies. That gave me fewer chances to make successful movies. So he's like, make as many as you can. So that makes sense to me. And you can apply that, especially to these all these properties and licenses, what we call characters, in the DC universe, the Marvel universe. They've got everywhere they could possibly go. I'm so happy Marvel's doing Guardians of the Galaxy. I'm not even a fan of that book, but I think it's brilliant, because they're like, look, we're not just going to stake our claim on Iron Man and Hulk and all the familiar ones. Like, we got tons of licenses. We're going to take this dopey one that nobody ever thinks about anymore, turn it into a blockbuster.
Yeah.
It's smart. It's good.
That's why I'm doing my Animal Man movie.
Animal Man.
It's going to happen. Yeah. You're going to see it. It's going to happen.
Buddy Baker, Animal Man.
Oh, what great character.
If he gets near an animal, he can absorb the power of the animal and then become that thing. How
I
cool
like
is
it.
That?
Well, it's
man.
Cool unless it's he gets near a rat or something.
Oh, rats are good. Lame. Rats are useful. Right. You'd be surprised what you can use. You can use a gnat, man. It's helpful.
Gnat man.
Today's celebrity birthday, Cheryl Burke from Dancing with the Stars is 29 years old today. Christina Hendricks from Mad Men.
You've been watching Mad Men?
The great season so far.
It's been really good, hasn't it?
Loving it.
How good was the episode that Ham directed? And
awesome.
Sexy, where he was sitting there talking to the lady going, you're going to want me to take you. You're saying this until I take your dress off. And then they start cutting back and forth to what he was doing. It was dope. It was sexy. He's a good director, man.
Yeah. Well done.
I was jealous. This guy's got it all, man. Monster hog and a good director. It's unfair.
Looks like that.
And he's not turning his back on Hollywood.
Yeah.
That's true. My bad.
I should go apologize to Hollywood.
Hey, Christina Hendricks has that commercial now where she's selling some booze. I don't know what it is, but I'll buy a case.
I like. She's good on that show, man. And what's insane about her performance is how strong and vulnerable she could be at the same time. There's a moment in that episode where the car guy came back, the Jaguar guy.
Yeah.
She just comes to the office and pours a drink, doesn't say anything. You see it all in her face and her body language.
Yep.
Like, I hate this man.
Yeah.
And then
and
John
herself,
Hamm steps
and herself,
and
a,
herself
little bit
a little bit as well. She's poisoning. But then John Hamm gets to play the hero. Don Draper goes into the room and just blows the deal. And I got the impression that it was definitely for Joan. And now I feel like I'm talking about
Hey,
soap
Kevin
opera.
Or Ralph, I'm going to have to push the pause button until tomorrow night.
All right.
Enough.
Tomorrow
Come
night
listen
in Long to us finish all this babbling at Long Beach tomorrow night, 10 o'clock, Laugh Factory, Long Beach. Other people had birthdays and stuff.
Have a great weekend, everybody. Don't forget, tickets go on sale today at noon for the K-Rock Weenie Roast 2013. Become a street team member at KRock.com.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
AmandaPlease.com.
Don't Bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Say what?
Roll another one.
You don't know, man, because you weren't there.
Just like the other one.
All right, so I'll put you down as a no.
This one seems to be about to quit.
We're going to be there.
And I need another hit.
Gold plated. 24 karat gold, baby. Yeah, yeah, you see it. We ain't bragging. We ain't bragging, we ain't showing off. All we doing is telling it like it is, bitches.
What an idiot!
Roll. Another one.
Ooh, look at that big lollipop.
Just like the other one.
Open wide for Chunky.
This one seems to be about to end.
Tony.
Damn, Zom.
I don't have another.
You're a talented son of a bitch.
Just pass it around.
Have you ever tried the fudge sprinkler?
Well, don't bother that joint, my friend.
It's not right. I don't like it.
Well, just pass it on down.
You've been served. Have a nice day.
Yeah! You kidding me? And scene.
Okay, by my watch, it's margarita o'clock.
Hey, one more thing.
Nope.
Okay, guys, hey, guess what? You just got blamed.
No!
I regret nothing. The end.